But Ryan, I meant to tell you, I was working the other day, like I do a lot of days, and guess who I saw at Home Depot?
Who did you see?
I saw your dad.
Of course you did.
He was shopping, and I was like, hey, Mr. Mountain, how's it going?
It's not really a surprise, because my dad fucking loves you, Eric.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
He fucking loves you.
It's weird. The other day I came over to hang out with Ryan, and he was sitting at the kitchen, and Mr. Mannix was sitting at the kitchen table.
Right.
He was, like, writing poetry. There was a picture of you on the table, and he asked me if there was anything that rhymed with Eric.
Like, wow.
Yeah, and I was getting a tattoo the other day, and I went to the parlor, and he was there. The guy was doing a big heart on his chest that just said Eric in the middle. Like, his entire chest.
Yeah, it was...
I mean, I wish you guys wouldn't talk about it so openly. My dad, like, wastes hours of his time sitting at the computer refreshing film fiction, waiting for Eric to get a story in the front page.
Wow.
And he spends his nights in the bathroom masturbating and just shouting, Eric! Oh, God, Eric!
Oh.
It's ruining my parents' marriage.
So you're saying I have a chance?
Welcome to Ragnarok, your home of the Nerdpocalypse.
Hey, everybody!
Sorry, I'm scared by Alex's voice.
It's fair.
I'm over it.
Okay. Hey, everybody, welcome to another Ragnarok Actual Play. Today we are playing The Masters of Umdar.
It's very masterful. It's like,
yes,
like the Masters of Fumdar, except without the F.
So, this Umdar adventure is going to be called...
it's the Star Wars of the Teens.
The Staff of Shadow.
What?
That was the tagline of Masters of the Universe was, it's Star Wars for the 80s.
Oh.
Which it was definitely not.
But Star Wars was the Star Wars of the 80s.
Yes. Yes, it was.
So, for those listening who don't know the system, Masters of Umdar is a Worlds of Adventure for Fate. It's basically like He-Man. It's a high fantasy sci-fi setting where everyone plays strange and unusual creatures and characters hunting for ancient artifacts to save the world from the Masters of Umdar. So, why don't we introduce our Archaeonauts, starting with one of you guys.
Hi, I'm Eric. I'm going to be playing Ruby Gleam, the Spellweaver Supreme. She is a chimera. She's half snake and half pony. She's half unicorn.
Eric actually rolled that.
Yes, I didn't choose it. I was tempted to choose a pony, and then I rolled it. Her lower half is snake, so she's got like a snake lower half, and the top half is pony, so it's got the front hooves and the head. You know, like,
so she sort of like holds herself erect with the front hooves as arms.
And, yes.
Yeah.
She's got a bright red coat with a pink mane. Her lower half is shimmering darker red scales. She's got cornflower sapphire eyes that are particularly enchanting.
Does her mane travel all the way down her snake body, or does it stop at the pony part?
It stops at the pony part, like right just below her neck.
And is she a rattlesnake or just a regular? No.
I like that idea, but nah, just a regular.
Python-esque. Okay.
Yeah.
Is she a reticulated python?
I don't know what that means.
It's a breed of python.
Then no.
Maybe.
All right, I'll go next. Hey, everybody, I am Ryan. My character tonight is going to be Dorla the Fuck Slug. Dorla is a giant human-sized mutant slug. She was previously in...
Are you anthropomorphic or just a giant slug?
Just a giant slug.
Okay.
So the way I picture this is, like, I am an immense slug, like, the size of a person. I have a cybernetic helmet on with, like, a HUD visor that is over my eyes. My antennas stick out.
Nice.
And I've got, like, a coat on that stays on somehow.
Okay. Well, you are rather sticky. Do you have arms?
When I need them, maybe.
Okay.
I can reach out and grasp
you, things. You somehow grasp things.
Right. You have arthropods.
I use my sludge and my giant foot to
okay
to grab things. Anyway,
not a very leggy group.
So no.
We've got two legs between the three of you.
Dorla is currently a mutant slug super spy. She wants to gain. She wants to bring the Masters to ruin because she used to be a sex slave. The cybernetic helmet that she wears is a mind control device, and her people have been enslaved by the Masters for thousands of generations. So there are just like slug servants everywhere.
Okay.
And because she wears her helmet, she can pass as one of them. And she can also, because she is hermaphroditic, she is quite gender fluid and.
Could you get me a glass of Pepsi?
She can disguise herself as either a male or a female slug, even though
so many people could tell the difference.
Yes, but she can present as either masculine or feminine, and it allows her to, you know, affect a different persona.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she's also because she was a sex slave, she is able to seduce people.
Okay. And last and certainly not least.
Representing the 100% of the bipedal portion of the party.
Or just the pedal portion.
Yeah, it's front legs.
They're basically arms.
Yeah.
If you're not using them to walk, they're not legs.
Yeah, you're not using them to walk sometimes.
Well, that would be very stupid.
I have my front legs. Snake head.
Dragging behind.
So hanging in the air.
And my name is Paul. I am representing Ryder, the last of his kind, master of the style of 10,000 cuts. He was from a tribe of battle toads that were all but wiped out, to his knowledge. And he carries around with him an honorific ceremonial battle axe. And he is going to aim to protect the weak. And this is the reason why he's seeking out the artifacts of the Demiurge.
Yep.
So that way he can ensure that no other tribes or races have to befall the horrors that befell his...
Pass from warrior to tadpole.
Ryan, what is your what's your name again?
Dorla.
How do you spell that?
I'm D-O-U-R-L-A. I'm going to actually add the...
You spell it... Dowerla. Yeah.
Is it pronounced Dowerla?
It's spelled Dowerla, but it's pronounced Dorla.
I'm going to write it out phonetically. Okay, so... You three have been traveling together for a short while. And you are right now in a small, shitty little tavern called the Tar Pit in the small town of Black Bog. It is a border town between... It's in the border area between one of the Realms of Light and one of the Master's territories. It's notable for that in that it exports tar. Not many people buy it. It's a small, shitty town. Think the Mudder's Town from Firefly, except instead of mud, it's tar. So this was not your planned stop. So, why are you guys here? We can either draw one of the what brought you to this cards, or you could come up with something.
I would say let's go with the card.
Yeah.
Okay, random. Do you want me to draw it, or does one of you want to take the card from the top?
Paul.
So, right. Just for you listeners, I have the It's Not My Fault deck, and we are using it to
Bountiful riches. The gods demanded, wheedled, and pushed.
Okay. Well, there really aren't gods here.
So maybe...
So, another card.
Maybe we've received...
Ryan, you... okay.
I was going to say, maybe we've received some kind of a message from the Demiurge, or what we think is a message from the Demiurge.
Well, the Demiurge are long gone.
Right.
Okay. But there could be some kind of, like...
Holocron. But it's either like a... Yeah, it's a hologram that's been preserved for eons, or...
Okay.
Think Captain Shepard and the, The very first game, come on.
You mean Commander Shepard?
Yes, Commander Shepard.
Well, now I know you're talking about Mass Effect. The artifact he found that gave him the vision of the Reapers coming? Okay, so in your previous travels, you were hunting some Demiurge artifact, but instead of finding something powerful and useful, you instead found something that told you to come here. Of course, it wasn't called Tar Pit, or it wasn't called Black Bog, back when the Demiurge were still around. This was a beautiful and verdant forest. Now it is a bog. After centuries of fighting and demiurge machines being used to transform the landscape. So you guys are sitting in the tar pit. What are you talking about?
There should be spires here. Immense spires that touch the sky. Beautiful buildings. Technological wonders. What are we missing?
And instead, there's muck.
So the tallest building here is the foreman's house. It is two stories.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Damn, fucking
actually,
apartment in the sky.
The tallest building is probably the one you're in. The tar pit is the tavern, too. So it is four stories, because it's got the bar, three stories. It's got the bar and rooms above it.
I can leap to the top of this, no problem.
Maybe. Yeah. You could probably leap over most of the buildings in this town. It's not, doesn't say much for the town. It says a lot for you. Doesn't say much for the town.
Reminds me why we had to come to this place again. The muck is getting in my scales, and I am not a fan.
The floor of the tar pit is just thresh thrown down over hard-packed dirt, because when everyone lives and works in a bog, mucking tar out all day, no point in putting down a floor that you're going to have to clean. So every day they just throw some hay down to help muck everything up. The bar smells of stale beer and tar. It's everywhere. You have tar on you. You're pretty sure it's in the beer and the food. You could taste it in the air. It's inescapable here. You feel sticky? I mean, Dorla, you always feel sticky, so you don't really notice it. But the two of you kind of feel just sticky all over. You're not visibly covered in tar, but you're pretty sure that the next time you bathe, the water's going to be black. It's just a film everywhere.
Dorla, I have a lesson for you. That if you are to ever found a town, do not found it covered in muck.
Okay.
Excellent. I'm spreading my knowledge.
So you...
You'll value this lesson in time.
The tavern itself, picture pretty much your typical, like, fantasy tavern, except there's elements of technology in here, so the tables and chairs are all made of metal and fabricated plastic. The bar top itself is one long piece of dull, dirty metal. There are metal bottles behind the bar that get refilled with whatever they have that passes for alcohol here. There is a kitchen where they can hypercook some food. It's not very good. It's passable.
Hypercook. I love it.
It's a microwave. And there's a few other patrons. So what... I'll say it's probably... mid-afternoon. You've recently got into town. This is where you go because you're coming into town and it's a tavern. That's where you go.
Well, I'm assuming that we came to the spot where the glorious city of technological marvels should have been.
It was two blocks down.
Ah.
There wasn't a glorious city of magical marvels.
Can I ask, on the menu, is there a tar pocket?
Menu. Good one. And no.
Referencing Firefly. Can I see a menu? What?
Yeah, so you got... if you're drinking, you can either have their... they have a beer, an ale-ish thing, or some sort of fermented liquid that they get from a plant in the bog. Depends if you're brave enough to try that.
Sure.
Okay.
Dorla is all up for the bog whiskey.
Roll plus forceful, Ryan.
Okay. I got plus four.
Oh, all right. Let me roll for the whiskey. the whiskey only got plus two.
You almost succeeded with style.
I almost did.
Almost. It burns. It doesn't taste so much like liquor as the thing that you think they probably use to clean the tar off of everything. It might do double duty, But you've had worse.
Oh my god, if you poured this shit on me, it might kill me.
I'll have enough. So, yeah, so that you're spending so a few minutes drinking and grumbling, and you see another man walks in. He looks like a local, you can tell, because he's covered in tar. He sits down at the bar and says, "Ah, barkeep, two shots." And the barkeep walks over, pours him two shots of the liquor. He pounds them both back. And he says, "So, did any of those guys ever come back?" Bartender says, "No, haven't seen them." And the guy at the bar shrugs and points down and gets two more.
I couldn't help but overhear. Coming back from where? What's going on?
Huh? What? Who are you?
Well, we're just coming through this area.
Ruby Gleam, the spell weaver supreme!
Oh. Well,
You will have heard of me in time.
Well, I haven't yet. My name's Ard. I live in Black Bog. Work the tars. So what brings you fellows around here, folks?
Ard, you said?
A-A-R-D.
Oh, A-A-R-D.
Like Ard Vark. I was going to name him Ard the Vark. I just decided to name him Ard.
Is he an aardvark? Please say yes.
Sure, he is some sort of aardvark.
Yay!
So when he does the shot, he just reaches down with his long snout and just sort of...
Something laughing.
Yeah, just tips it all back.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Ooh, we don't get too many travelers around here.
I can't imagine why.
Yes, a thriving community like this... I can't believe the tourists aren't beating down your door.
Well, you could stop with the sarcasm. We all know what Black Bog is, but...
It's a shithole!
Well...
Excuse me.
It's my home.
It's a tar pit.
Yes. Yes, it is. But in these troubled times, it's a safe haven. Both the masters need the tar, and so do the lands of light. So they leave us alone so long as we keep making tar. It's a dirty job, but...
Very dirty.
Puts food on the table and keeps us safe. Honorable work, we say.
So, if I may, what was this going on with the missing people?
He takes one of his empty glasses and taps it against the other one. Whew, I don't know.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Can I get another round for this guy?
The bartender comes over for his own. Takes one of the glasses. Okay, now I'm starting to remember. Yeah.
Just going to buy his drinks.
So, a few weeks ago, maybe, no, 2 weeks ago, a group of Archaeonauts came through here saying that they heard tell of some sort of ruins out past the desert, and that they were going to go check them out and see what they could find, and haven't come back. Every once in a while, you know, another group comes through, and no one ever sees them again. Ooh. I mean, I suppose they could just keep going the other way and not come back to town, but, I mean, we're the only thing around here. You head out west to the deserts where they're going. I mean, that's master territory. So, not many much reason to keep going that way. He slurps back his other shot.
Yes.
I'm just going to run to the post office, the 24-hour post office thing with Colleen.
Okay.
And then her and I are going to come back and watch Rocky Horror. So, okay.
Give her love for me.
Tell her I said hi.
I will.
Tell her I said... Ryan, your character dies.
Well, it was fun playing.
It starts raining salt.
No, just one giant meteorite of salt.
Lesson number two for the day, Darla. Don't be soluble.
Son of a bitch! I hate everyone! Life was miserable! Fuck you! And fuck you! And fuck this whole place! Ah! And then she's gone.
But for real, real, not for play. So Ard wobbles on his stool a little bit, having just done six shots in rapid succession. Yeah, they say that they're looking for some kind of temple or ruin or something.
The temple of the... Do we know this stuff, right?
That you're supposed to be looking for the Temple of the Setting Sun.
Okay.
You don't know exactly what's there, but you do know it is some sort of demiurge building ruin. You don't know what state it's in.
Which could be what we were drawn to.
The Temple of the Setting Sun?
Yeah, that was it. The Temple of the Sunset.
Okay.
Now, on this map, could you point out where... You know, maybe the other Archaeonauts have said it was, or...
Nope. No, they didn't say where it was. They just through the desert. West. They were going west to the Midnight Sands.
Everything is sand and sludge around here.
Well, you are a local. Are there anything, you know, is there anything we should keep our eye out for in the desert? Any...
Oh, yeah. Like I said, that's Master's territory over there, so you should probably watch out for the Sulians. They're lizard people. I mean, technically, they are aligned with some of the lands of light, but they don't take kindly to trespassers, so if they find you in the desert, they'll probably try to kill you. Also, the Midnight Sands, that's where old Tsitgar lives.
Could you say that again?
Tsitgar. He's the beast with a thousand mouths.
Oh, that sounds colorful.
You should use one of his mouths to make a better name.
Like a vowel, maybe.
Also, there are robo-gators.
In the desert?
Yeah.
Does he get that, like, distant, like, 1,000 yards there?
Yep.
In the desert?
Yeah. You look down, you look at him, and you see that he has a prosthetic leg.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Tell me, if we went to find out what happened to these people who came through, would there be any reward?
I don't see why. They're not locals.
Any fame to be gathered? Of course, you would speak the names of the ones who discovered the problem.
What problem? It's not a problem for us. We don't go in the desert.
It could be. You never know what's out there. If they got those people, they could be here for you next.
Well, no,
I don't
mean,
know why they'd come into this town.
We know what's out there. I just told you what's out there.
Well, maybe.
That's why we don't go there.
Well, what if they were to decide to come here? We could take care of them before, couldn't we?
I mean, I suppose if you wanted to broker a more lasting peace with the Sulians and kill the beast of a thousand mouths and somehow wipe out the plague of robo-gators, I mean, that'd be swell, but it's still a really big desert. I live in a bog. What am I going to do with a desert?
Congratulations! The desert is peaceful again. You can live there all the rest of your days.
I don't want to live in the desert! I told you this before you left!
We killed the beast of a thousand mouths. You must live in the desert.
Just flash cuts to him in a little hot desert.
Oh, I hate this! There's no muck.
I'm sticky and everything is sandy now. They're saying everyone.
I mean, maybe if you found that temple thing, someone would like it. It's not really going to affect us unless you could somehow make our sludge better.
I kind of, like, grab... When I say grab, I mean sort of, like, slither and engulf partially.
I kind of picture your tail like goes up and wraps around.
It's kind of like the human equivalent of putting your arm around someone's shoulder,
yeah.
But as a giant slug person, it's more like, and then you're covered in me. I do that to Ruby, and I say, that memory crystal that you two plugged into my HUD showed me the city and said that the
Temple of the Setting Sun.
This Temple of the Setting Sun could be found there. There must be something valuable, something powerful there, something that could bring down the masters.
My arm is now moist.
Oh, I'm...
wait, Ryan, you have a crush on him.
Her.
I'm sorry.
Quite all right.
Do I call you like sensei or teacher? Or...
I like sensei.
Okay. I'm sorry, sensei. I didn't mean to overstep. And then she just sort of pulls herself away, and your clothing comes with it like a little. And there's now a fine layer of mucus all over you.
I've had a wonderful idea,
and I repeat what she said. What Dorla said about finding the memory crystal. I'm sleepy. About exactly what Dorla said.
Yes. So, Ard,
you were looking at them, you turn back, Ard is asleep on the bar top.
I'd like to conjure a little burst of light and sound in front of him to stir him from his slumber.
You don't have to roll for that.
Oh.
You do. You go,
since you're low,
you.
I had a question for you. Does anybody here know what the Sulian want? You mentioned potentially brokering peace.
No, I mean, there's peace now. They don't, like, attack us, but... They don't like trespassers. They want to be left alone.
Fair enough. Lord.
What?
Thank you very much for all this information. Can I buy you some of the food they have here? I don't know.
Sure! Yeah, go right ahead! bartender, get me one of those seared buck steaks.
There's just a guy in the back. He's got goggles on and like a huge leather apron. He just like nods, pulls the goggles down, and then turns. And then like the lights in the place dim.
The lights flicker, and there's a glow from behind the bar. And then a few seconds later, you see this guy with the leather, like the welding apron almost, and drops a steaming plate with a steaming... steak of something on it,
and the wall behind him actually has an outline of him.
So the bartender goes over to you, Paul. So how are you going to be paying?
Currency.
Do you have make me a roll, Paul. You don't have any. So I'm going to give this scene... So this scene has some aspects. It has...
Everything is sticky.
Dirty bar. It has... Everything is sticky.
I wouldn't have offered to buy if I knew I didn't have currency. I would know I had currency before.
You forgot how light your purse was. It also has the aspect... bartender wants his money. So, that is another aspect. So... How are you guys going to get out of this one?
Let Ruby Gleam save you again.
She would like to chip off a little piece of the bar and then try to turn it into gold.
Okay.
Weave a spell around it.
So
transmute it.
I'm going to say if you want to do that without the bartender seeing you breaking his bar, that's going to be sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't care,
what if I distract the bartender?
You could try to do that.
Okay.
So Ryan, you can roll plus clever.
Okay.
And then Eric, you can roll plus probably clever as well to do. Or what do you want to do to roll your?
I would think clever would be a good way to do it. Because, you know, she's using her smart. She's got a fantastic idea.
All right.
And
you just gotta, you know, add a couple of protons.
And I'm gonna roll two. I am going to invoke Bartender Wants His Money. This is not the first time someone has tried to get out of a bill. So he's getting plus two to his roll.
All right, let's see. Could I invoke, showing my I must show everyone my amazing pet. Oh, wait, but part of it is that... Oh, can I invoke the fact that my star pupil is making the distraction?
Sure. Yeah,
that'll work.
So what you give me a fate point.
And that gives,
and that gives you plus
two. Plus
two. Okay,
or you can re-roll what you
want. Yeah.
Let's see. This ended up in a two, so that'd be a four. Or I could just re-roll.
Yeah.
But you have to go with whatever the next roll is.
And you can only invoke one aspect per roll.
Right.
Or really,
no, you can only invoke...
you can only invoke... an aspect once per roll. So
you can invoke multiple aspects
if you have fate points. But
I'll re-roll
the same one.
Okay.
Come on, not pieces.
How are
exact
we
exact same roll?
How are we handling my roll? Am I like adding to him or?
Well, what did you get?
I didn't roll.
Okay.
I was gonna say I'm gonna. Dorla is a comely lass, so she, you know, slime trails over to the bartender and bats her cybernetic slug eyelashes, I guess.
I'm kind of picturing your mask has, like, an emotive face on
it. Yeah, yeah.
So I'll say your Eric succeeded, so Ruby will make the bar into gold. Your role is going to depend on whether or not the bartender sees her do it.
Okay.
So she does it, but if you don't beat him, then he's going to say, "Hey, why are you breaking my bar?"
All right. Dorla like slithers over to him and, you know, does the whole big blinky eyes thing with her with her cyber HUD and like entwines her antennae around him, around his shoulders, and says, "You know, such a lovely bar. You must be a kind and generous soul and someone."
It's not every day a fuck slug comes. Yeah.
Or is it? No.
You may not know this, but I am a purveyor of delights of the flesh.
Okay.
I roll a minus, and I'm gonna invoke as well. Oh, wait, so hang on. So I was clever, so I'm at plus three right now.
He is also at plus three.
Okay, so I'm...
So I'm going to say it's going to go to him unless you invoke something. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to invoke Hot for Teacher because I'm helping.
Okay, that's fine.
So
that bumps you up to a plus five.
Plus five, yeah.
Okay, so he doesn't, like, instantly fall in love with you.
Well,
but
he is
distracted as you wrap your eye stalks around him.
As he contemplates the implications of what I'm
the terrifying
physical attention.
Well, not terrifying. He's used to being sticky. Maybe he really likes being sticky.
Sticky's a thing. So he kind of looks you up and down and gives a hard swallow and says, I appreciate that, miss, but My wife's at home, and I don't think she would approve of that.
A faithful man, then, and then Dorla's eye stalks like peel off of her. Yeah.
All right. So Ruby, then
one jagged piece of gold.
He takes it, looks at it. Well, usually they're minted in coins, but he bites it.
This one is unique. You'll never see one like it.
I mean, it's gold, and that'll definitely cover it. All right, well, this should probably cover your drinks too. So, thank you, folks. Have a good day.
We'll be off to the desert then.
The midnight sands.
Dorla, another lesson: do not buy food or drink for someone you don't know when you don't have any money.
That's a good lesson. And then we both look meaningfully over at at Ryder.
He's a good folk anyway, though.
You need a complication. It's fine. All right, so...
Maybe Toad Warriors have no idea what currency is worth.
Exactly.
You come from an agrarian society of bartering. You would just trade things when you needed to. But most of the time, you know, you were a tribe. Everyone had what they needed. Money is... Why would you pay for things? It's so weird. So you guys
it's
set
good
off.
To keep around anyway. One of us owes the other, and we won't have to talk about which is which because we know which one it is.
Right. We help each other out. Like good friends do.
So, is there anything you would like to do in Black Bog before you set out?
Prepare for desert travel.
Okay.
Any supplies we need? Water.
Water. I mean, you tell me. What do you want to do? It's not quite. Like, you're going to be tracking water points. It's not that sort of game. But, like, one of the aspects of the desert would be, like, shifting sands. Or, you could try to find out about the Midnight Sands. You just know that it's the Midnight Sands and it's west. You know what's there. Or, you know, some of the things that inhabit it, but you don't know anything about the area.
I mean, we could create an advantage on ourselves. Like, we are water carriers or something like that.
Yeah, you could do that. So, you'd have to roll. You'd have to... find some way to create that advantage for yourself.
Sensei, do you think you could cast a magic spell that would purify some of this disgusting bog water to make it potable?
I could purify this whole village if I wanted to.
All right, so how are you, what are you going to use to cast
a spell? I don't want to.
They have a certain rustic charm. There's just a guy peeing.
Maybe we'll take different bog water.
I'm thinking since she's just made a brag about this, she wants to be more flashy with her creation of this.
So roll with flashy. And how well you do.
Better,
so I'll tell you, as long as you succeed, you'll get an aspect to invoke. If you do better, you might get more than one invoke.
One.
Okay, so you get. What do you want to call this aspect?
We were saying water carrier before?
That works. Right. Or,
yeah, okay. Yeah. So.
Potable water. Or, yeah, water carriers.
Water carrier. Okay. So here, Eric, you can just stick this on your sheet. So you have that. You can invoke it once for free, and then it's gone.
Okay, it's a boost.
It's a boost, yeah. So you have... It's a one-time use.
Plus two bonus that someone can use.
Yeah, any of you can use it. I just gave it to Eric because he rolled it.
Right.
But between the three of you, you have water. That if you can think of some way to use it, feel you can use it for the role.
All right.
Anything else you want to do?
Do we want to find out more about the Midnight Sands before we
should?
All right. Pretty smart.
I will find out about the Midnight Sands.
How?
Four's like, I need information.
You can try that, but who are you going to go? Who are you going to go scare the shit out of to try to get information about the Midnight Sands? You could try to Batman them, but
swear to me,
exactly. Depends who are you going to ask?
That guy.
No, you gotta do better than that.
The guys that I see guy. In that general direction.
I'm going to carefully observe people in the town. Who looks like they're... Well, maybe the foreman might know, because the foreman is, you know, in charge of all these people. Maybe they're more educated and more knowledgeable.
The foreman might be a good... So, here's the thing. It is mid-afternoon, as we said. The foreman is foremanning. He is working.
Well, it's probably a good idea to wait until nightfall anyway to go into the desert.
Yeah.
Okay. So you wait around a bit. So one of you make a careful roll to see if you can find the foreman.
I will do that.
Ryan's really careful.
I will scan the town with my HUD.
Careful.
I'm not using my bonus because that's not really a weakness that I'm detecting.
Right.
But,
okay.
There's a weird, like, crappy
Terminator,
right? Terminator-esque overlays.
Okay, so that was a plus minus, so I am at plus four.
Yeah, okay. You find the hell out of the foreman.
Hello.
Anyone said hello?
Damn it! I'm out of here!
I said,
Roar! You're allowed to talk?
Hi.
Paul's not allowed to talk.
I'm wearing zebra pants.
Nice.
Because
I'm wearing my pajamas. Haunted Mansion.
Very nice.
Yes, yeah. You are.
Hear that, listeners?
Stylistic as
fuck. Pajama
time. I went to the post office.
Prove it.
So that way we don't have to go. I have a receipt.
Here it's an itemized bill.
This is our itinerary from the trip.
Is a videotape of us doing it?
It probably is.
Yeah.
Love.
It's foggy as hell out there.
Mm. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's gross.
Yeah,
I can't believe it's October and it's like that out.
Now they know when we recorded this. Good job, Ryan.
Mm. Yeah, good
now
job.
They know what your name is. Uh
oh. Oh no!
All right,
they're
enjoy
gonna find
Rocky
out
Hour.
Everything. Yes, have fun.
I'll try.
Okay.
So we find the fuck out of
yeah,
the foreman.
Yeah, you find the fuck out of the foreman. he looks. You see him. They're coming back from the tar pits. He looks a little tired. He's cleaner than all the other workers, but he's still got muck on him. It's unavoidable here. You could tell his clothes are a little bit nicer.
When he comes up in my HUD, he comes up as capitalist tool.
Yes. Okay. So you found him. What do you want to do now?
I point him out to Ryder. Ryder, there's the foreman. Go get him.
So how do you want to ask him about the deserts? You can take whatever approach you want. You just have to tell me what you want to do. You can forcefully do it, but that will be like Batmaning him, like beating him and threatening to murder.
I'm just picturing like all of a sudden a tongue whips out and wraps around him. Tell me about the desert. What?
Note, this man has no idea who you are and has done absolutely nothing to wrong you or anyone you know. And as far as you know, might be very nice and happy to help. That being said, how do you want to approach this?
Can I flashily ask him?
How? Well, I mean, you it's not so much as asking, telling me what stat you want to use. Tell me how you want to do it. And I will tell you what stat or
what
approach.
What do you do to ask him? Like,
you could just go up and say, "Hey,
yeah, I'm doing that."
Okay. If you're just going to go up and ask him, you could do. I would say you could use clever. That would probably be clever to just ask the right question of him. And
can I do it? Hoot 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 ha! Hello, good sir.
Just quickly ask him.
So you want to, like, jump around and do a dance in front of him? I mean, I don't think that's going to...
Wow, this guy's amazing.
I like your spunk, kid.
Here's everything I know.
You know what? Fine. Roll with flashing.
That's a way of the Battletoads.
All right, so you get a zero. So,
Wait, can I invoke that I'm a nimble berserker?
He's nimble.
Sure, you want to spend the fate point, sure. I'm not going to say no to a fate point.
So are you re-rolling or adding plus two?
I'm going to...
You could just... I will tell you,
that would put you at plus two, which would be enough.
Okay, yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So you basically, like, you guys are standing, I'm going to say you guys are standing across the street watching, and Dorla goes, there he is. And Ryder just leaps across the street and lands in front of the foreman and then with a flourish spins like he lands but and then spins around with a flourish. So what do you say to him?
Hello, good sir. You look like somebody who would know a great deal about these parts. Please, I implore you, tell us about the Midnight Sands and what there is to know.
Ruby Green does not like jumping.
Oh, that was...
It's very difficult.
Quite an entrance. I mean, there's not that much to tell. Midnight Sands are to the west. About a half day's travel, but it's hard to tell the time passage because the sands are completely constantly shrouded in twilight.
Oh.
Why they got the name. It's always twilight there. There's lots of nasty creatures. I mean, you've got the Robo-Gators, there's the Beast with a Thousand Mouths, and you gotta watch out for the Sulians, because they can be pretty testy if people trespass into their territory.
So, the Beast with a Thousand Mouths, is it intelligent? Can it be reasoned with? Or is it just a mindless creature?
Don't rightly know. Tend to stay away from those parts. Beast with a Thousand Mouths, more is a story from our grandparents. Most people who go wandering in the desert don't tend to come back. Are you? You're planning to head out there, aren't you?
Of course we are.
Well, best of luck. Make sure you bring some water.
Ruby Gleam does not need luck. She has ability.
That's okay.
Do a little firework, a little firework splash as I.
Oh, that's.
Isn't she just darling?
I'm sure that when the Robo Gators are tearing you limb from limb, that those fireworks will make them reconsider.
Fuck that! I have no limbs. And I just sort of like waggle.
That's yeah, you are a unique group. Well, if that's all, I've just finished a 12-hour shift, and I'm very much looking to get home to my husband. So if you'll excuse me, he starts to leave, motions to leave.
Certainly. What can you tell us about the Sulians? Is there any way to appease them, to not be attacked?
Don't get caught by them.
Hmm.
I mean, they tend to mark their territory with wild beast skulls on sticks, so you'll know when you're getting there. So if you're forced to go through there, try to do it quietly so they don't see you.
And you stated that the sands shift quite a great deal. Is there any way to ensure not getting lost once out there?
I didn't say that, but
Oh, I thought that you had. I'm sorry. No.
No. I mean, it's a desert. It's vast and featureless, so you might want to bring a compass so you know which way you're going.
Do we have one of those?
You don't right now. One of you can make a roll.
What kind of roll?
Just roll. If you get a positive, you have a compass.
All right, I'll do it. Plus.
Okay, you have a compass. It's no, I'm sorry, it's not a compass. It's a magneto drone.
It's a sextant.
It's a compass, but they don't call it a compass.
For a moment, Dorla has a hand, has like a wrist with a watch on it, and her other hand comes out and pokes the watch, and then there's a tiny little orb that comes and hovers over the watch with a needle in it, and it points to magnetic north.
Yep.
My student is always prepared. She takes after me.
Dorla gives like a sluggy thumbs up and doesn't have an arm anymore.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much, Foreman, for the great job you do for this town and its denizens.
Oh, well, thank you. It's very kind of you to say.
And when we succeed, you will remember the name Ruby Gleam, the Spellweaver Supreme.
Fireworks.
She came up with the rhyming thing herself.
Oh.
I'm very clever.
I mean, we won't know you succeed unless you come back.
Oh, we'll be back.
Well, that'll look forward to it. Yeah. All right, I'm going home. So, like I said, take care, folks. Be careful out there.
Say hi to the husband for us.
I probably won't. He's going to love this. And the foreman walks off. All right, so you've got water. So I'll say, story wise, your thing of water is enough to get you through the desert
and back.
You don't know.
Uh-oh.
But you'll have to if you use it.
Have to find another water source. Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense. That's fair.
So it's 6-7 p.m. ish now. The sun is starting to go down.
All right. So, are we setting off into the midnight sands
tonight? Are we waiting until, like,
now? Let's just go. I think we spent enough time in the town.
Very well, then.
Okay. So, there's a road that leads west out of town. You start marching down the road. As you go, the bog, you start walking through the wilds of the bog. You hear creatures in the back sulking through the reeds and the muck. And as you walk, after a few hours, the bog starts to thin, the trees get skinnier, the pools of muck get more spread apart, and eventually just turn into puddles of water and eventually just disappear altogether. And you come to, like, small trees and scrub grass. And then eventually the grass gives way, the road turns into a path, which turns into just nothing. And after a few hours of walking, you are just sort of gradually in this vast desert. You look out in front of you, there's dunes and a few craggy mountains and hills poking up out of the sands.
Just a quick correction, only one of us is walking.
That's true.
One of us is slithering, and the other one is sliding along on an endless carpet of mucus.
Dorla, this is the worst feeling for you.
It's
sand in your veins.
And it's all kind of sticking to your... underside.
I'm going
to
be picking sand out of my membranes forever.
So, you guys are now in the Midnight Sands. So, it does have the property Shifting Sands and Perpetual Twilight.
Twilight.
That's a rarity.
So the desert is dark. A few bright stars twinkle in the sky. There's like a band of pink and darkish purple on the horizon. And it's just the sky. There's no sun. The moon's in the sky. But it's just perpetual twilight here.
This reminds me of a particular spell I cast upon a town once to make them all think it was nighttime and fall asleep early.
Oh, tell us more, Sensei. It's so interesting to hear you speak.
Absolutely, and you can take lessons from this. I cast this spell to darken everything. It was a beautiful purple sky, and everyone fell asleep in an instant, knowing that this was so beautiful that it was a night time that they just had to slumber and properly enjoy the night. It was lovely. Just another one of my wonderful exploits.
Okay.
Hey, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt it, but is there any apples in this desert, Jack?
Reach a little bit more.
Suddenly a hole opens up in the sand, and Ryder is swallowed into it, and then the hole closes and burps.
I get the feeling never seen hell. Again.
At least I brought this pie that's a little pink, good. You know.
So how do you guys cross the desert? So someone's going to have to make a roll to cross the Midnight Sands.
I'm going to ride the Midnight Sands.
Basically, one of you is going to lead the way. All right, well, Paul rolled.
How did Paul do?
No. Well, no, that doesn't count because Paul didn't say what he was using. So who is going to lead the way through the desert, and how are you going to do it?
I'm voting the person with the compass.
All right, fine. I have established that I have a magneto drone.
Right.
So I'm going to use the magneto drone and my knowledge of the stars and maybe my very weak Wi-Fi signal through my HUD. To guide us through the Midnight Sands.
All right, I'm going to say that's clever.
Okay.
Ruby will notice her starting to do it and then tell her that she should do it because now it looks like it was her idea.
Okay.
Oh, good. I'm at plus one. Is that going to do it?
It will get you somewhere in the right direction. I will say this. A plus one will get you in the right direction. However, you will have an encounter.
Mm.
Or you will have an obstacle to face.
All right, let's make this interesting. We'll...
Okay. So...
The signal keeps going in and out. I just keep getting the loading circle.
Just unplug it and plug it back in.
It's plugged into my brain.
Oh, well, then I suggest not doing that.
So there's this paperclip that keeps asking if I want help.
Oh, God. I kill myself. My existence can't run on Windows.
You travel for about 2 hours. It's easy going for the two of you. Ryder, you're buff and strong, but after 2 hours of trudging through the sand, you're starting to feel it in your thighs a bit. Because this is
thighs. Who needs them?
This is very fine sand, like the Sahara Desert. As you're walking, you see also that the sand itself is black. It's just like jet black. I already gave you a blanket apology months ago. Every once in a while, there's a little gleam. Like if you, sometimes it looks like you're walking on the sky itself.
My name is Gleam.
And you're walking.
Sensei, this desert gleams just like you do.
Why, thank you. She appreciates me. My student appreciates me.
Dorla, you're leading the way. Your head's kind of down, looking at the compass, and you just you bump into something, and you look up and you see a skull. It looks it's some sort of horned creature. It's got a long snout and big gaping eye sockets. And four horns, two of them curl up and two of them curl down, and it is on a stick with a little red flag tied to it that's gently flapping in the breeze. So it seems like this is Sulian territory. So you have an option. You could try to cross through the Sulian territory without being noticed, or you could try going around and taking a detour. And this is the way you have to go. You know, this is the way you're supposed to go.
Right.
You can either take the easy, the shorter route through the Sulian territory, or take a long route that you don't know exactly where that's going to lead you.
All right. Well, it seems we've found the dreaded Sulians. If we keep walking this way, we'll be smack in the middle of their territory. I can guide us around, but it's going to take time, and who knows what else we'll find out there.
Well,
maybe there'll be rocks.
Ruby Gleam.
Yes.
Maybe you can cast a spell that'll disguise us to look like Sulians.
What do Sulians look like?
Would I have any idea?
You didn't even know about them until today, so no. There are many, many creatures across Umdar.
Sensei, what if we were to cast a spell to make ourselves invisible? I mean, they would still see our tracks. But the desert is in perpetual twilight, and the sand is jet black, so it would be hard to make out.
I should make us invisible so they cannot see us. They might be able to see our tracks, but they won't see them very well.
Okay.
Sensei, you're a genius.
So are you? I would say that's clever.
Yeah. Three.
Three? Okay. So I will give you you have a group aspect, invisible. With a +3, I will say you get 2 free invokes.
Yay!
Yeah.
Invisible. So that's just to mark the 2.
Invisible, ooh.
Invisible. So you're going to keep marching through Sulian territory?
Yeah.
No, I'm not marching.
Okay.
Well,
I'm marching.
Yeah. Gliding painfully.
All right, so you keep
you
moving.
You are so scratched.
After about a half hour of moving in the same direction, you see an outcropping of rocks start to rise up in the distance. And you can see, as you get closer, you see lights. They look like maybe torches or some kind of electric light illuminating crags in the rock. You would assume that this is where some Sulians live or something. So it seems like this rock, though, is directly in your path. So you're going to have to skirt around it a bit. How far away do you want to skirt?
You don't want to get too close.
Well, we are in their territory already, so let's keep our distance. We'll go with a couple of hundred yards, maybe.
Okay.
What do you guys think?
Sure.
Can we see each other?
I'll leave that up to Eric.
I would say that we'd be able to sense each other.
You can't see each other, but you have this idea of where the others are.
I have their heat signatures in my HUD.
So if you're going to move a few hundred yards away, Ryan, you're still leading the group.
Okay.
So make me a roll with sneaky.
Okay.
To get by undetected. I'm going to say there are Sulians looking. Right.
All right. I broke even, so that's a plus two.
All right. They also got a plus two.
So I'm going to use one of our free invokes then. Is that okay with everybody?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So that puts you at plus four. So as you're marching through, the only thing you hear is the subtle shh, shh, shh of you moving through the sand. And as you're still a few hundred yards away, but as you start to pass by the side of the Sulian encampment, you could see these outlines of these tall creatures. And as they turn, you can see they have long tails coming out the back. It looks like they're scanning across the horizon. And for a split second, one of them looks at you guys. And you think, oh, shit. And then they just keep looking, keep turning. So it's about an hour of slow, cautious movement. But you manage to skirt by the Sulians.
All right. Good job, team.
And leave. And then you see their encampment starts to fade away behind you. So you're still invisible. So Ryan is... Dorla is leading the way. Who is being a lookout? One of you two. Can't be Dorla.
I'm navigating. Someone has to watch our backs.
Yep.
Maybe the warrior toad.
I guess I will be the lookout.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, if it fits more for the warrior toad, then...
I am a protector.
So, why don't you roll... I would say careful.
I have no...
Or if you can make it a case for something else.
I am really focused on looking and being forcefully looking out at everything. Ooh! Horizon. Ooh!
I'm gonna punch over here.
Definitely
is there
not.
Over here?
Because I'm sneakily going through the desert and I'm trying to make sure that I see things, but nobody sees me while I'm looking out for things.
It's not really sneaky.
Just roll with careful, Paul.
I have zero careful.
I know.
It's okay.
Hey, plus two. All right, so... Okay. You're keeping an eye and an ear out. And as you're walking, like I said, the only sounds you can hear the sand shifting as you guys walk. Every once in a while, there's a breeze. You've moved away from the area where the wind was carrying the sounds of the Sulians to you. But as you're walking, your sharp toed ears pick up a strange sound. It seems like it's coming from underground. It sounds like a drill, kind of, like underground. But it sounds like more than one.
There be robot alligators here, methinks.
I don't see any robot alligators.
So I want to go away from where those are, and I make sure that our navigator knows where away from those are is.
Well, the thing is, it seems like they're around you.
Preparing for attack.
They're hunting us. Oh, God.
Okay. So you guys have, like, a turn. What do you want to do? You don't see anything. Now that Ryder points it out, you can hear that sound under the sands. And it seems to be getting a little louder.
Can I try to use my magic to maybe solidify some of the sand under us?
You can try. Dorla, what are you going to do?
I'm going to try to find us a good hiding spot so that maybe we can get the jump on these things.
And Ryder?
I am going to prepare my ceremonial battle axe for battle.
So okay, would we that don't have to roll anything for that?
Would that?
I would say How do you want to do it? I would say either quick or clever, Ryan.
I'll do clever. I'm not very quick.
Eric?
I think clever would work.
Yeah.
Three.
Okay.
I'm at plus two.
Plus two. Okay, so, Dorla, you quickly glance around as that the sound goes and it starts to get louder. And you see a boulder, maybe, about 10 yards away to your left a little bit. It's a few feet off the sand. You don't know how well that'll work, but, I mean, you're in a desert. That's pretty much all you got.
Right.
Ruby, you said you got plus three?
Yes.
All right, so what does this spell look like?
Well, I guess I wave my hands and kind of like, around, like in the area around my hands, kind of emanating from it on the ground, solidified from sand to glass.
Okay. So there's this
durable glass.
Yeah, so this glow spreads out around you guys as Ruby waves her hands, and you feel the sand solidify beneath you.
Gators, not glass gators.
They now have to roll to break through. So let's see how they do. They are only at plus two, so they got plus two.
So good. The other shards of glass flying.
Well, no, because that stopped because you got a plus three.
Okay, yeah.
So you guys hear, crick, crick, boom, boom, and feel the glass beneath your feet. You see cracks form in it. This metallic snout comes out and just starts like crunk, crunk, crunk. You can see these razor sharp teeth gleaming in the moonlight. It looks like there's five of them. So that buys you guys another turn. So there's an outcropping, there's snout sticking out of the ground. What are you gonna do?
Well, at least we know where they are now. How closely are they, like, or are they, like,
No, they're spread out.
They're surrounding us, I think.
Yeah.
They're hunting in a pack.
Basically. So you could hit one of them. You can't hit multiple ones with one attack, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. You could definitely hit one of them, but only one. I will say, though, that with just a plus three, Eric, your glass does not extend all the way to that rock that Dorla found.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have to run across sand to get there. But I'll say the glass will get you like halfway there before you have to actually go on sand.
All right. I shout out to the two of them. Sensei, Ryder, there's an outcropping over there. Perhaps it can provide us with some safety.
To the outcropping!
Can we use the other bit of invisible?
I mean, they haven't seen you yet. You don't know how that's going to help. Yeah. That's for when you roll. You don't just use it now. That's basically, you can invoke that to...
Give us a plus two bonus to a roll.
Yeah.
So, like, you guys might run over there. I don't think... Dorla doesn't run. So I think Dorla is making a...
Yeah, I'm going to say, if you want to get to the rocks, it's going to be quick.
Mm-hmm.
Dorla is not quick, so I think she's the bait in this one.
I'm going to use my tongue to forcefully grab that rock so I can grab myself to it.
I'm going to say that's more clever than forceful.
I'm forcefully grabbing with tongue.
Right, but that's not what you're doing. Mm-hmm. That's a clever use of your tongue.
Mm.
It's not a forceful use of your tongue. However, if you succeed, you will just pull yourself right across the sand.
I mean, the other thing too is, if you wanted to use forceful, you could say you jump because you're a toad.
Yeah,
but that he wants to use his bonus for one of his stunts is for his tongue.
Yeah,
yeah, I'll just leap. Thanks, at least I get my plus three.
Yeah, that would be forceful.
Yeah,
you want to just leap to the rock, Ruby?
She wouldn't leave her student behind, but she also isn't a fan of sticking around.
Well, you Sensei, you get to safety. I'll draw them out.
Very well. You be careful.
Okay.
Can I try to go, but also maybe cast a spell of protection on her? To toughen her up. Without...
Yes, it's going to be more difficult because you're trying to do two things at once.
Right.
So I'm going to say it's probably still going to be quick because you're trying to quickly cast the spell and go, but the difficulty is going to be plus four. So if you don't get at least a four, and you're gonna fail.
Yeah, both. You would probably get to decide.
If you get a positive, that's not four. You pick one. Either you get to the rock or you give her the protection. Mm-hmm. If you get a negative, you fail both.
Huh. Well, I'm going off quick, not clever, because for this ship.
Yeah, because you need to do it quickly.
It's got to be down and dirty, quick and dirty.
Maybe it's a really clever spell that you have.
It could be a really clever spell, but then you're not quickly getting to a rock.
No, yeah, that's true.
Can I invoke an aspect of protecting my star pupil?
You do that after you rest.
Yeah, you can.
Yes, you can.
You can invoke either before or after.
I have to get at least a four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes more sense to invoke after, because if you roll plus four now.
Yeah.
Four.
So I roll nothing. Okay. Let's see.
So you can invoke to reroll or add two.
Adding two will only get me plus three.
You can invoke more than one aspect. You can't invoke the same aspect twice on one roll.
Out of fate points.
Well, then you can get compels.
You can ask Alex for compels. Like, what would he compel your motivation? Somehow.
If you want to get more fate points, mm-hmm. I will say that I will give you a fate point for protect your star pupil if you use the spell to transport Dorla to the rock and you stay behind instead. Mm. I will give you a fate point for that.
Let's see. I'm trying to think if that's something she would do.
Well, that's up to you.
Well, then the attention would definitely be on you.
Right.
Yeah, but probably not the kind of attention she wants. Right.
No. I think I'm going to just use the star people, the one fate point.
So that'll put you at plus three.
Alright.
No, what were you going to say?
I was thinking of rerolling, but that could put me at even less.
Yeah, it could.
You could, like I said, you can use... You have one fate point left, so you could, if you have another aspect that works, you can invoke something else. You can't invoke star pupil again. You can only use that once, each aspect.
Well, I would be maybe showing my allies my amazing power.
Yeah, you'd be showing off.
Being able to run... So I'm using the reroll, and then I might be using the second one.
Okay.
Using the second one for the plus two, which puts me at four.
Okay. So you, quick and dirty, just like you're running, you just throw this glowing orb at Dorla, and it kind of like hits her chest and spreads out. So there's kind of this weird glowy shield around her invisibility.
Thank you.
I am impressed.
Yes. Yay. And Ryder is thoroughly impressed.
So does that give me like a boost that I can use?
It will give you a one-time use that you can reduce a shift for damage by one.
Okay. All right.
Because it wasn't a fantastic success.
Right.
So you can shift down damage by one. So this turn, Dorla, the sand gators.
Do I get an action?
Oh, yes,
for,
I'm sorry. Yes.
I'm going to scan them using my HUD and see what I can.
Is that careful?
I can place an aspect with a free invoke related to their weak point. It's, careful battle HUD.
Okay.
So, like, I basically scan like their fighting, their hunting pattern, their fighting style, and I come up with what their weakness
is. So I'm going to say this is going to be a plus three though, because right now they're pretty much just like half their stouts through.
Yeah.
You can't fully scan them.
Okay. I'm at plus four.
Okay. Nice. Yes, you find a weakness. What do you want to call it?
Let's see. Since the invisibility doesn't seem to have much of an effect on them, maybe they sense through either sonar sound, or sound, so they can be easily fooled by creating sounds elsewhere.
Okay, so I'm gonna call that sound-based hunters.
Okay. I get a free invoke with that.
Yep. Spell hunters, right?
No, don't. Spell it wrong. Spell it like...
So you get one free invoke. So you create it on the enemy, so you guys can use it too, but you have to spend a fate point. Ryan gets a free invoke because it's his thing.
Okay. So I call that out to them. Sensei, Ryder, they seem to be hunting by sound.
Then we shall be quiet!
All right, so now this turn, you feel the ground quake around you as five of these metallic sand gators, robo sand gators, burst up through this glass. So the ground shakes around you as shards of glass go flying, and they come swimming up through the sand. They're alligators. They're like 8 feet long, with big metallic chomping jaws. And you see that their tails come out and end in a very weird point. And as they come up, they land, and their tails like swirl up, kind of like a scorpion, and like point above them. So they are going to use this turn to try to find you guys.
So now the sound base, can they see?
You don't know.
Oh, all right.
You know, they are sound-based hunters, so that is their primary method of hunting.
Right. I was figuring that because they wouldn't have been able to see us from under the desert.
Yeah.
Right.
They track, you know, and so the invisibility thing wouldn't really matter since they're coming from underground. Right. But now it might if they do have sound.
Yeah, you don't know, but you do know that they can be fooled by sound. So what are you guys all doing?
I'd like to try to make a sound... To create a sound farther away from where we are, like in the opposite direction of us and us three.
Okay.
Far away sound, like some loud sort of noise.
Ryder?
I will steady myself for an attack if any one of them come at us.
Okay.
So I can protect the weak.
And Dorla?
Dorla is going to... Well, it's not very forceful. She's going to try to stay as still as she can and hope that they are blind or...
Okay. So I'm going to say they're going to roll to try to find you, so it's going to be contested against their roll.
Okay.
So I'm going to say it's careful for you, Ryan, to stay still. And how are you casting your spell?
Let's see. Well, I know...
Flash is probably not the way to go.
Right, yeah.
They all just swarm towards you.
I mean, I want to use clever, but I it's a clever idea to, like, sneak him away.
Okay, you can do...
My character's going to say hi again.
Yeah, three. I keep rolling two pluses and two minuses.
They are also at three. Ryan?
I don't have any fate points to spend, so...
You could use the sound-based hunters.
He doesn't have any fate points.
That's right.
I am also at three.
So, I'm going to say this. So, it's going to go to the defender. So, Ryan...
Can I use my invoke on the sound-based hunters?
Sure.
Okay.
So that puts you...
I will do that, so that makes me plus five.
Right.
And I'm hidden from them.
So you guys see Dorla, just the ground erupts around her, and she just stops. She's just like a statue. She doesn't move at all. These gators are like swiveling their heads around. And Ruby, you throw a spell, but as you do, it makes a sound as it leaves your hand, like it crackles with energy.
Oh.
And... three of the gators hear that and come towards you, and two of them take off to where your spell lands.
Okay.
So some of them left.
Some of them away.
I picture like the soundtrack goes dead silent, and you can hear like the glass shards and grains of sand falling, and then Dorla is just there, and everything's dead quiet, and then you just hear.
Yeah, basically. So these three sand gators are. It looks kind of like they're just moving through the sand, like their legs are a blur, and they just kind of through the sand towards you. So they're using this turn to get to you guys. The other two are just taking off in random direction of the desert that you threw your spell in.
Right.
So next round, they are going to attack you. So Dorla, you are safe. There's no more Robo-Gators around you. They are attacking your sensei and your toad friend, though.
Sensei, no!
So what are you guys all going to do?
Can I try to seize up their metal jaws so they can't snap down?
How?
Well, I want to use
a spell. Like a spell?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Like, you know, since they're robots,
mm-hmm.
kind of like seize them and make it hard for them to move.
I'm going to say that's going to be forceful.
Ew.
It's like a very offensive spell.
Hmm.
Not offensive, like it's going to...
Unless you're doing electricity, because it's clever, because they're robots.
Electricity would be quick, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Maybe... Hmm.
Well, what are you going to do, Ryder?
I am going to do a series of things, actually. I'm going to swing myself at one of them. And
what do you mean swing yourself?
Like around it, and then
what? I don't know what
his tongue.
Yeah.
Okay. On what?
Onto one of the robot the gators.
So you're gonna tongue the gator,
and then
that's a sentence I want to hear.
So are you going to try to pull yourself to the gator, or pull the gator to you?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know. Would I be able to lift a gator?
It would probably
up in
be
the
easier
air?
To pull you to. The
yeah,
gator.
That's yeah. what I was thinking. Yeah,
especially
so,
since you're like a nimble berserker.
Of course.
Yeah. You would just like pull yourself toward it, hit it with the axe, and
right.
then maybe like jump off of it or something.
Yeah.
Okay. So what does that work again? When you...
When forcefully grabbing with tongue, I get +2. And I could also use Blast and Burn on it. And I could also use my Protect the Weak and Nimble Berserker.
Okay, well, the Protect the Weak and Nimble Berserker don't give you bonuses.
Yeah.
Those are aspects if you want to use fate points.
Okay.
The Blast and Burn, +2 damage.
+3 on fire once per battle.
Right,
well,
but...
that might be a bad idea since you're wrapping your tongue around it.
Yeah. You probably don't want to light it on fire when you're standing directly next to it.
Yeah.
The tongue thing, you had to... So it would be two different actions. You'd have to use one action to pull yourself towards it.
So that would be this round.
That would be this round. That would give you the +2 if you roll forcefully. And then next round, you would hit it with your axe.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
If you want, you could not use the bonus to ensnare it with your tongue and just use that as flavor to pull yourself towards it and then hit it with your axe, but you won't get the +2.
Okay.
The +2 is if you use your action to grab something with your tongue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? Maybe I'll use this round to ensnare its mouth with my tongue, because actual alligators can't really open their mouths when they're ensnared.
Yeah, when their jaws start.
I mean, these are robots, but you could certainly try that. So that would be I would let you use forceful for that. Dorla, what are you doing?
You can your thing.
Oh yeah.
Can
Ruby?
Would I be able to argue flashy in some way? Because maybe like making a bang in their senses and maybe disorienting them. And getting them to...
Yeah, you can do that. Okay. And Dorla, what are you doing?
You said three of them kind of took off.
Three of them are going for Dorla and Ryder. Two of them took off
into the desert.
Yeah, towards Dorla.
Following my sensei spell.
Yes.
All right. Well, since they're going for Ruby, I'm going to... Is the one that's trailing the most close enough for me to, like, leap on top of it?
Oh, yeah, it's only like 10 feet between you and
okay,
the rock.
Okay, so yeah, I'm gonna try to do that. I'm gonna bring my enormous slug body.
So
down.
You're just gonna jump on it.
Yep.
That's gonna be forceful.
Okay.
So everyone roll. So they are going to, since you guys are on the rock, they are going to try to shoot you with their javelin tails.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Not you, Ryan.
Yeah.
Me too.
So, I still roll now?
Yeah, everyone rolls.
Well, I think we go... It depends on how you want to do it. Either we do a quick roll for initiative...
That's true. Players go first.
Or okay. Players go and
yeah.
then enemies
so
go.
So you guys roll...
Jump on the sucker.
Five.
Nice.
All right. And if that is succeeding with style, although this is what I'm trying to do, but if it's succeeding with style, I can daze one target.
I already saw your roll, Paul.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so that was forceful. I'm a plus one. They're going after my sensei, so I'm gonna invoke hot for teacher and make it a plus three.
Okay. All right, so Eric, you got a plus five, so what were you asking?
Well, also, I mean, this is what I'm trying to do is daze them, mm-hmm. but with my Watch Me Shine stunts, whenever I succeed with style when casting a flashy spell, I can daze one target. So I don't know if I've succeeded with style yet.
You
so,
did. Plus five is definitely succeeding with style.
Oh, I thought it was against theirs.
Okay. True, yes, it is.
I mean, no, you're right.
Well, it was succeeding with style. You definitely, with a plus five, you definitely got at least one of them. If you succeed with style, I'll say that you can apply... Basically, you could apply that dazed effect twice.
Okay.
To two of them. So, what did you get, Paul?
Add two pluses, two minuses, but then I also have plus five, because three forceful and two tongue.
Okay. So, they are rolling at plus two.
Don't lick the rope.
Yeah!
Oh, all right. Minus one. So, you all succeed with style. So,
yeah!
So, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Okay, so this is how it happens. So Ruby, that puts you at six shift above them.
Yay.
So I'll say you just reach out and like dazzler them. And these flashes and pops go off all in front of you. Mm-hmm. And the
cease before Ruby gleam.
The three gators you could see that they're kind of like dazed, and they shoot off their javelin tails, but they just go wild. And then you reach out to one of them with your tongue and wrap your tongue around its snout as Dorluck just comes smashing down on another one of them. So you got plus three, Ryan.
So I got four shifts of.
All right, yeah, you crush it. They're
nice.
Crunchy enemies.
Yeah.
So you just see it just go. And just break under you. You make an indent in the sand, and you can feel the buzzing electricity of the Robo Gator beneath you. However, the other two hear this.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
and start to come back. So you have two turns before they get back to you.
Okay.
The two surviving gators here are one of them is grappled by Ryder. The other one is totally dazed, so it's not doing anything. Neither of them are doing anything this turn. One of them is also, in addition, grappled by Ryder. So, what are you guys going to do?
I'm going to try to hack its head off.
Okay, that's going to be forceful.
Can I try to put a little jolt of electricity into it and damage it?
That would be forceful.
I would say flashy.
Yay! I like flashing.
Let me see. I think I've done all I can to help my sensei here.
You could try to do something for the two oncoming gators.
Eric, you should see about rewiring it so you can control it.
No.
Yeah, I was going to say.
that's not a magical... This is a robot. Magic's not going to work in that way.
All right, so...
If you had a science guy, they can maybe
I do have a battle HUD, but that doesn't really...
If it was you could try to take control of one of them.
All right, sure. I'm gonna hack the one... one of the ones that's not... The one that's not grappled by Reiner.
I'm going to say that's clever.
Oh, that's the one I'm zapping.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see which one of... Maybe whichever one of you rolls higher. That's going to be difficult, though, Ryan. I'm going to say that's going to be a minimum plus three.
Okay.
If only it had a human... organic mind that could enchant it.
Yes,
I'm good at that.
It is a robot. It does not. They're not doing anything. I don't have to roll dice. So roll your stuff.
Plus six.
Oh, and no. That, so you can see that's blank, blank, two pluses. And my plus three plus forceful.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. That's probably why I don't succeed. I got a plus one.
Okay.
So
plus five from Ryder, plus six. A lightning bolt is the best way you could describe
it. Can I daze one of the targets that's coming at us?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Because they know they're dazed by the flashy amazingness of Ruby Gleam.
So what I'm going to say happens is the one that you shoot is in the same direction as the ones that are coming towards you. So you just shoot out this blast of electricity. I'm going to give you one better than dazed.
Ooh.
You shoot out this blast of electricity, and you could see it. You could see it travels through the gator and fries everything, and then hits the sand and keeps going to the next nearest conductive point, which is one of the other gators.
Yeah.
That's, so you guys look off in the distance. It's about 20 feet away. One of the other gators just explodes.
Ruby Gleam meant to do that.
And Ryder, you have your tongue wrapped around this thing. You yank yourself towards it, and because you've practiced this many times, you unravel your tongue as you're flying towards it and take out your axe and just slice through midair and keep, and you land on the other side of the gator with a flip and a flourish in the sand. And all of a sudden, the gator's head just falls off and sparks, and the body just collapses.
I'm picturing one of the scenes, like, from the movie where he just lands behind him with an axe like this, and then just the head just slides off.
Actually, with a +5, I'm going to say, instead of that, you see behind you, you can't see anything, and all of a sudden, two halves of gator just boom fall on either Robo Gator, just fall on either side next to you. So next round, this last gator is going to run away. Are you going to let it, or are you going to try to stop it?
I'm going to try the same thing again. I'm going to pull myself to it.
Okay, so you're going to have to grapple it. It's basically just going to try to tunnel down through the sand and get the fuck out of here.
Mm. It might be trying to get more. We don't know.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Okay, so Ryder's going to try to grapple it. What are the rest of you doing?
I'm just going to try to grapple it. There's not really much I can
do. It's still about 10 feet away from you.
All right. Maybe I'll try that jump and crush move again. That's
okay.
Pretty effective.
That's going to be forceful again.
All right.
And forceful for you.
Yep.
Well, wait. Are you trying to just pull yourself towards it to hit it, or are you trying to grapple it again?
I'll grapple it.
Okay, because if you do that, it can still move.
Okay, so then I'll attack it. Pull myself to it and attack.
Okay. It's still forceful.
Yeah.
Ruby?
Ruby is going to sit back and gloat at her wonderful success.
Okay. And Gator is rolling at +1 for this. So
I've
it is at 0.
+5.
I'm forceful. +1.
Okay. So this is what, so, Dorla, you leap, and land on it. You don't crush it, but you manage to pin it down for a second. And then you see a tongue wrap around its head, and you look back and you see Ryder just zooming towards you. And he...
Dorla tucks and rolls out of the way.
Dorla rolls out of the way as Ryder, again, just comes just flying through the air, slices it in half lengthwise again, and this time you skid in the sand, and there's a cloud of sand, there's a cloud of dust behind you, and as the dust settles, there's just a dead Robo-Gator.
Oh! Ruby Gleam and her fender compatriots have defeated the gators!
I picture having the princess laugh of the one hand, well, hoof back there.
Well done. All right, so you defeated a pack of Robo Sand Gators. Good
sure
job.
Did.
All right, so are you guys going to rest it all through the night, or are you just going to keep going? Well, it's always night here. I mean, you've been going for... You're tired. Because you were in the town all day, and then you just left. It's probably, if you had to guess, like 3 in the morning.
I would say try and forge on to find a safer place, because clearly...
Well, I will say...
The camp was right there, and the gators just attacked us here. Who knows what else is coming this way.
So you march for about another 20 minutes, and there is a larger outcropping of rock with, like, a little divot in between that seems like a safe place. So it's all rock, so nothing can come up from beneath you, and it's shielded, so no one would be able to see you easily. So it seems like a safe place for you to sleep for a while, if you want to.
Fair enough.
All right, so you guys hunker down.
Yeah, we're going to make camp.
I coil my body, my snake part around, and then rest my pony half comfortably on my coils.
Yep.
Do you wrap your coils around your star pupil to keep body
Dorla,
warm?
Are you a warm-blooded snake or a cold-blooded pony?
I don't know.
Because if you're cold-blooded, this whole trip is really going to suck.
I would think I'm warm-blooded.
Okay. In that case, you're fine.
Okay.
I mean, it's still chilly because it's a desert at night.
Right.
But for the most part, you guys are good. If you want, Ryder uses his axe and just blasts a rock And it just starts giving off heat for a few hours.
Mm-hmm. Dorla is going to attempt to get as close as she can to her sensei and ask that she tell her tales of her amazing adventures and accomplishments.
Oh, Ruby is more than happy to do that.
All right, so Dorla drifts off listening to her sensei regale her with a story. Do you listen in on it, Ryder?
I'm kind of forced to.
It's true.
This is probably a repeat. Have you told this one before?
Oh, yeah, but this is one of my favorites.
But the same story always changes just a little bit. Yeah.
She embellishes every time.
Wait, I thought there was 5. No, there's 50. Okay, last time there was 100. Well, now there's 200.
Okay, the number of cyborg chameleons I've seen in this one.
Cybermillions?
I'm sorry, I don't respect them enough to use a proper term.
Oh, wow. So you guys wake up.
I'm sorry to all our Cybermillion listeners.
Maybe it's morning. You don't know. You look up. The moon is still in the exact same spot it was the entire night. It's still dark, but you're rested at least. So you take off again. Your magneto drone is leading you westward. And as you go, so Ryan, are you still leading the way?
Yeah.
Which one of you is the lookout again?
That would
Paul.
Be...
Powell.
So I would take either clever or careful. Powell.
I'll take clever because I have at least a plus one.
Wait, never mind. No. Don't roll. This is integral to the story. So invisibility has worn off. You're no longer invisible. And you no longer have sound-based hunters. So
that's
those
good.
Aspects are gone.
I'm glad for the second part. That's what I miss.
So Dorla is leading the way. Ryder, you look up. And in the distance... You see something blocking the stars. It doesn't look like a rock formation. There's like right angles in places. It looks like some kind of
construct.
Structure. Yeah. So do you point that out?
Hey guys.
Yes?
I think we found what we're looking for.
The Temple of the Setting Sun? It's standing incredible.
Yeah, so you guys start making your way towards it. It's still about 2 hours away. And as you get closer, you start to realize how huge that this temple is. As you get there, you come to the front entrance, and you see that it's cut from huge blocks of stone. Like, each block of stone that looks like it's making up this temple is probably, like, 50 feet tall. And 150 feet long. Like, it's just gigantic. And it seems to be made out of... Nice. Wonderful. It almost seems like each block is cut from pure obsidian. It's jet black. But as you look at the blocks, they kind of gleam a little bit, and you could see... bursts of pink and purples, like the sunset, and above the massive archway that covers it, there is a glyph carved into the top of a setting sun, or a rising sun, but you would assume a setting sun because this is the temple of the setting sun. And as you look at it, you could see there were spires, most of which have fallen into this and looked like to be buried in the sand. The front steps are mostly covered in sand, and it's spilling into the entrance. It definitely looks eroded, but knowing that this is a building of the Demiurge and how old it is, you would expect it to just be sand like everything else. The fact that it's still standing is a testament to the, you know, the architecture of the Demiurges. Mm-hmm. So, do you go in?
Yes.
Okay. So you're no longer in perpetual twilight and shifting sands.
We should be on our guard.
Mm-hmm.
Any of those previous groups could still be about, and we don't know what their intentions were. Also, we are in Master's territory now, aren't we?
Yes. All right. So this place has the aspects: deep pools of shadow,
Eric's favorite pools of shadow,
and a mystery aspect.
Earl.
No, I'll just tell you what it is.
Earl is the mystery.
Ooh, I like Earl. I hope
it's all good.
Hi, y'all.
How did you get here, Earl?
I liked that show. My name is Earl. It's fun.
And it also has the aspect traps around every turn.
Oh, good.
Oh, I don't like that aspect.
Oh, boy.
It's my I like Earl better.
Yeah, Earl's cooler.
Oh, no, trust me. You don't want Earl.
So, you guys are standing on the sandy front steps of the Temple of the Setting Sun.
All right.
What do you do?
Do we all right.
So here's the thing. You have no idea what's in here.
Right.
You know that there is, or was at least, something in the Temple of the Setting Sun. Some relic of
that
the Demiurge.
That was worth stealing. I want a fate point.
Four.
Okay.
That's it.
So, my motivation, I will bring the masters to ruin. Mm-hmm. Dorla is so overcome by her hatred of the masters and the prospect of actually striking a blow against them.
Okay.
That she charges foolishly ahead into whatever the hell you want.
Okay. Sure. So you guys see Dorla.
Come on! We must find the artifact inside.
Here's your fate point.
Thank you.
So Dorla, overcome with her hatred of the masters and just picturing wanting to murder them in horrible ways with whatever might be inside, rushes into, well, as fast as a giant slug can rush, into the temple, and you see her just disappear into shadow.
We must hurry!
Can I get a fate point for protecting the weak? Because she is rushing in.
Well, see,
we know there's traps.
Compels have to be, like, you have to put yourself in some kind of armor disadvantage.
Yeah, so protecting the weak would be, like...
So, like, you charge in after me and also get, you know, bum-rushed by whatever Alex has cooking up for us.
Yeah, you would have to, like, put yourself in harm's way to protect her in order to get the fate point. So you guys see Dorla just book it into the center of the... Well, not the center. Wait. Into the tavern. Temple.
Oh, God, we're back in the tavern.
Art is just sitting at the bar.
Well, Ruby doesn't let her students go off into danger without her protective... You know, her aura of protection around her.
You know what? I guess I will...
That has worn off too, by the way.
Oh,
the
protection
spell.
Uh-huh.
I'll go ahead and I'll take that fate point to charge off to protect her.
So we both get caught, mm-hmm. Whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Are you taking the fate point or are you just following them in?
I think this is my star pupil. I'm doing something to protect her and putting myself in danger possibly to protect her.
Okay.
So I charge in, they charge in.
Everyone just goes charging
in
to the darkness of the temple. You can't see your hand in front of your face.
I don't have a hand.
I don't either.
You can't see your eye stalk in front of your face.
Oh, my God.
I have hooves. Can I see them?
Because none of you brought any source of light. So you are literally wandering, running blindly into this temple.
Eric can cast a light spell.
Yep. Nope, because you all took fake points. So, you all run forward. Dorla's leading the way. And you, Dorla, you are running forward and you trip over something. And the rest of you just running behind her, unable to see a thing. Trip over either the same thing or Dorla. Mm-hmm. It's hard to tell, but the three of you are in a pile on the floor.
All right.
And then you hear thunk, the sound of something very massive slamming against something else very massive behind you.
Oh.
I think that may have been a tripwire.
So now you could try casting a light spell.
Sure. Flashy.
Yeah, flashy. Probably.
Or it's clever of me to do such a thing.
No, it's flashy.
Yeah, pretty literally.
Yeah, true.
Two.
2. Okay. You cast up a little orb of light that's just going to bobs above you. So you throw it up, and the first thing you realize... You look up.
Light.
The ceiling, the ceilings of whatever it is that you are in are just as high and massive as the door you came in. So it does, the light doesn't even reach all the way to the ceiling.
Damn.
And the hallway is wide. And you, so you're kind of sitting in this pool of light.
Sounds nice. And watch his figure.
And you look behind you, and you see that the thing you tripped over was a corpse.
Oh.
Oh.
It is half a corpse. Because it looks... No, it wouldn't be half a corpse. Yeah, it is a corpse. It is...
That's my least favorite corpse.
It is bloated in places. And it is covered in... it's starting to decay, but you can see that there's splotches of black all over it. That looks
like...
There's
favorite splotches.
It looks like someone injected ink into it.
Ugh.
And it's lying there with this rictus of pain and fear on its face. And you look back, and you can't see the outside anymore, because a few feet behind you, the wall has closed.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
And then you hear a buzzing, and the corpse starts to move. But then you realize... as the wasp crawls out of its mouth, that it wasn't the corpse that was moving, it was the things inside of it. Suddenly, the chest of this corpse splits open, and a swarm of black wasps come shooting out. And from above the light that you cast, you hear more come... You just hear that buzz. Yeah.
Good news,
as
guys.
More come down.
I found my nightmares for the next several weeks. Assuming we survive this.
So what are you going to do?
Well, first is scream.
Okay. You don't have to roll for that.
Oh, I want to roll flashy.
Okay, roll flashy to scream.
So you literally just...
I got -2 on my scream.
For the first time that you know, Ruby is speechless. So that's what Ruby's doing this turn.
I'm ready to use a blast and burn.
Okay.
At the nearest swarm.
Okay.
Seeing that her sensei is literally speechless at the sight of this awful swarm of corpse wasps, I think that Dorla is going to throw herself over Ruby to protect her.
Okay. These are actually night wasps. Not corpse wasps. I will say this. You don't have to roll for that, Ryan, but okay. They will get a free attack on you.
Okay.
If you want to protect her. But Ruby will not get attacked.
That's what Dorla wants.
Okay.
She wants to save her teacher.
So, actually, no, I'm gonna take that back. You have to make a roll to see how well you protect her.
Okay. So would that be what?
I would take either... careful or quick?
I'm going to go with careful.
Okay. So, Paul, so you roll forceful, okay. And you say you're using your blast and burn. So you get +2, basically you get +2 warp to it.
If I had just wanted to roll my scream, I could have done something this day. Fuck it, it works.
I'm going to invoke Hot for Teacher.
Okay.
And give myself +2. So I am at +4.
+4.
To protect
my
teacher.
I'm going to invoke Nimble Berserker.
Okay.
I get +2. So it's 5 forceful.
No, it's 7.
Seven.
Nice.
Which is probably, I will say, you're probably better off keeping that fate point.
Okay.
Because you get the burn gives you +2 to the damage.
Okay, yeah,
and
yeah.
And the forceful gives you +3, so that puts you at +5.
Okay.
So you can use the fate point, but I'm telling you that's excessive.
Yeah.
So this is what happens. Ryder, you say the word and point your axe, and this ball of fire comes shooting out. It illuminates the room as it hits this swarm of wasps, each of which is like 5 inches across. Black, too, so they're really hard to see in this place. And they light up, so there's like the fire starts to spread through them. So you destroy this swarm. And they light up a little bit more. You see there's another swarm behind them. But the one that came out of the corpse, Ryan. So okay. What'd you get to protect?
+4.
Yay.
Okay. They got a +1 on you. So you protect your sensei. However...
Sensei, hide in my undercarriage.
Very well.
Ryan, you now have the aspect on you.
Oh, dear.
Nightshade Poison with 1 free invoke for me. So put that there. Actually, I'm going to mark that there so I know. So you jump on top of your speechless sensei, and you feel the stingers pierce into you. And you just feel this numbness start to take over, and everything, it's just hard to move, and everything is slow.
I got salted once. This is what it felt like.
Yes. So that's that turn. So you are swarmed, Ryan. You also have the aspects. Swarmed. There you go. That's for you.
All right.
So, I can invoke that against you.
I don't want you to, though. You shouldn't.
And, yeah. So, what are you guys going to do? I will tell you, Ryan, they're going to sting you again.
Yeah.
All right, well, now I can act again.
Yes.
I'm done failing.
And so, Ryder, that was your once per battle. So, there's a swarm on Dorla, and there's another swarm coming towards you guys. I will tell you this for free. Your axe isn't going to work well against them, because they're a swarm of bugs.
I eat bugs.
It's true, he's a toad.
You could try that.
Can I try to magic... do it like a magic force them. Oh, I shouldn't say the word force because then I'm going to make you say forceful. Fucker. I like to do this a magic clever.
Well, because you saw how my fireball worked really well against them, it'd be really clever if you used the same type of damage.
It would be clever if she came up with the idea, but she didn't.
I carefully watched him do that.
No, you were under a slug.
I flashily
It's forceful.
Fine.
Ryder, I'm going to say that's clever to eat the bugs.
Okay.
If you want to try to eat the swarm.
What about Dorla?
Dorla, what's Dorla going
to
do?
Dorla is going to... Dorla is going to carefully analyze again, because she doesn't really... Her other best option is to just flail around wildly.
Okay.
And she doesn't want to do that, given that she's on top of her sensei.
Right. So they're going to get an attack off on you again.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, so...
Unless I force them away.
Yes, so everybody roll. All right.
Oh!
Nice.
+4.
Ryan, they are invoking their Nightshade Poison on you.
Okay. So they get +2 to sting me.
Yep.
As I am.
So I got +4 to force them away.
That puts them at +5.
Ooh. I'm doing it to protect my star pupil.
Okay. So that puts you at +6. Okay.
Thank you, sensei.
Yeah. And what'd you get, Paul?
I've got +3.
+3. All right. So they are going to... This is a different swarm.
You protect me initially, and then I make up for it.
And would forcefully grabbing with tongue count or no?
No. That's, okay. You're not grappling. What'd you get?
+3.
They also got +3. So if you want, you can spend...
Yeah.
Nimble Berserker, because it's with my tongue.
I would say nimble, or you must protect the weak.
Oh, yeah, I'll protect the weak.
Yeah, okay. So that puts you at plus five. So, Eric, you push the swarm away.
Yeah.
They're not dead, because you didn't destroy them.
Right.
But they are off of your pupil.
Yes. And I got a plus four to analyze them with my battle HUD.
Okay. They are a swarm of insects. I will tell you that, they have a queen.
Oh.
Kill her.
Yeah.
You don't know where she is.
Make her suffer.
If we can find the queen and kill her, maybe they'll be disoriented and
kill the queens! What? The jukebox! So, Paul, you have half a swarm left. With your shift on them, you managed to gulp down half the swarm.
We're just like, dinner, dinner, dinner.
It's a good thing I came hungry, motherfuckers. It's all you can eat night at the Sunset Temple.
So next round, they are going to again try to sting Ryan and Eric. And Paul, the remainder of that swarm is going to try to sting you. So what are you guys
going to
do?
I am going to try to continue to nom, nom, nom.
Okay.
I feel like...
chicken tonight?
No.
Actually...
So, we're in, like, a pool of light. How is the light spell, like, oriented around us? Are you holding the orb of light? Are you...
I just kind of set it into the air.
I kind of picture, like, a floating ball of lights.
Okay. In that case, Dorla is going to pull her sensei into the shadows.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And try to, you know, stay still and silent and sneaky.
Okay. That's definitely going to be sneaky.
Okay.
Eric, what are you, or Ruby, what are you doing?
Let's see.
Uh-oh.
I drew a How It's About to Get Worse card, and not all of them apply. This one, however...
Oh, God.
I'm thinking of doing, like, a fire, quick fire spell thing to harm them, but...
Yeah, you can try.
Yeah.
And you're going to try to gulp them down again?
Yep.
All right.
Not fire spell, the ones he's gulped in.
Yeah.
Would that be a clever spell or a flashy?
Flashy. Yeah.
Plus three.
So they're at plus three on you, Paul.
And I've got plus two, but I'm going to burn another plus two, so I'll bring it plus
on what? What are you using?
Four. Well, I used to protect the weak already. I'm going to...
You can use it again. You just can't use it on the same
roll.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll use it again.
Yeah, you just have to say what you're using.
Yeah.
All right, so you gulp down the rest of that swarm.
I'm eating these wasps for you.
I am going to say, though, Paul, because you didn't succeed with style, you only got a plus one, that you're going to get poisoned on the way down. You're going to gulp them down... But some of them are going to sting you from the inside before you swallow them.
Okay.
So I will give you that aspect in a second.
I got a plus three on my sneaky.
And Eric?
Oh, I got a plus two on my fiery.
Ooh, they got a plus five on their stinging.
Oh. Bastards. You know what? I'm doing it for my sensei. I'm hot for teacher.
All right.
I can't ever score with her if she's stung to death by night wasps.
So what did that puts you at plus...
That puts me at plus five.
Plus five. Okay. You're going to get stung again, though.
That's... yeah. Okay. So I succeed at protecting...
You succeed at protecting her.
But I get stung.
You take it again.
Okay.
And this... Oh, you both tied, so there's no shift in damage on you. However, you feel more of that nightshade poison just... go into you and everything starts to get stiff and just hard to move.
I'll have to try to take care of that once we're out of danger.
Yeah. So there's only one swarm left that you can see. Paul, they are in you see that your companions are in swarms. You have a full belly. However, Paul, you also have the nightshade poison.
Nightshade poison. And I get a free invoke on that.
I'm copying this picture a lot to try to... because I can't draw unless I'm looking at a picture.
Okay. So what are you guys doing? They're going to try to sting you again. Not you this time, Paul.
Oh, okay.
They're stinging... right now they're trying to sting Dorla and
so
Ruby.
So they didn't really get much happening with my fire?
Dorla, because you didn't beat them, Dorla pulled you out of the way.
Okay.
So your fire missed them, basically.
I basically pulled us into the shadows, hoping that, you know, we would...
So, they're going to have to roll to find you again. But okay. If they do, they will make with the stingy.
So, I got plus +5 to hide us. Does that get us, like, a boost of some kind, or...?
Yeah, well, that's going to be their score to beat.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, they're probably not going to find you. But if they do, then they will make with the stingy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe I'll try to tend to her wounds, her poison. Is that something I could do?
You could try, if...
With my, like, a magical thing to try to...
You would have to do it sneaky, otherwise it's going to negate her effect of hiding you.
Oh, true. All right, so maybe I'll stay hidden right now, and then I'll take care of that when we're less out of danger.
Okay.
When you're less
out of danger.
When there's more of them trying to kill us, I'll take that opportunity.
Ryder, what are you doing?
Well, you said my axe would be useless, right?
Well, I mean, you'd be swatting at a swarm of insects with an axe, yeah.
Exactly. Can I forcefully grab with my tongue to slam in, you know, individual ones into, like, the wall and the splat?
Yes, it's going to take you hours. It's a swarm of insects. Yeah. You would have to go one at a time.
Maybe
to
you could
smack
try to, like, instead of killing them, just try to drive them apart so they're not swarming anymore with the axe. Maybe, like,
You could try to use, like, the broad side of it to smack them. Also, there's a queen somewhere.
Yeah, there's that too.
Yeah.
If you could find a hive, you might be able to find the queen.
Do you have any fate points left? Because that's my aspect, but...
I have one.
Or you could do something stupid and get a fate point.
I'm already poisoned.
Well, you could be more poisoned. I will give you a fate point if you jump into the swarm. Not to attack it, just so that they start stinging you instead of them. You will take damage and be more poisoned, but
Sensei,
you will get a fate point.
Sensei, I can feel the venom. It's spreading. Everything's going cold.
Don't worry. Ruby gleans magic can take care of that in a moment, as soon as we're not going to get stung more.
See, what does the Nightshade Poison Invoke do, though?
It basically gives Alex a +2 bonus on a roll against us because we're so poisoned and fucked up.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
If you want to take the fate point, then go for it.
No, I want to try and find the queen and take her out.
You don't have to take compels.
That's going
to
be, I'm going to say that's going to be either quick or clever. Probably quick, because you're in the heat of battle, you're looking around this dark room trying to find the hive that the queen would be in.
Mm-hmm.
What are you two doing? You're just staying still?
We're having a moment.
Okay.
Sensei.
So they're going to roll to find you.
Sensei, if I die here, I just want you to know that you've been the best teacher that
Holy
a mutant
shit.
Slub could ever ask for.
Nice.
So I got 5 total.
Okay.
Queen has not had a student die on her yet.
They got a +1 to try to find you guys.
I plan to keep that track record.
So the two of you hear the buzzing. It's close. But it's just kind of moving aimlessly around you in the darkness. Unfortunately, they can't see you, but you can't see them.
Yeah, so it's terrifying.
Yeah,
but...
so the swarm is somewhere, but it has not found you yet. Paul, I'm going to say with a +5, you grab the ball of light and make a mighty leap up and look around, and you see in the corner of the room on the wall is this massive black hive, and you can hear more buzzing. Excuse me. And if you had to make a guess, that's probably where the queen is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's this round. So next round, they are again going to keep searching for you. So you're at plus five. They rolled plus one. Once they get to plus five, they're going to find you.
Okay. Well, let's hope that...
That's up to Ryder.
Let's hope that Ryder destroys the hive and kills the queen.
So, what are you going to do? So, it's up in the top corner of the room. If you leap, you can get to it.
Yeah. So, I'm doing that.
Okay. So, that's going to be forceful to leap up there and probably hit it with your axe.
Yep. I got plus three.
All right. Yeah. So, you can use a fate point to use the to invoke the Have a Queen aspect. To find you guys.
Yeah. Nice.
That puts them at negative one.
Yay.
So they get worse. They go farther away.
Yeah.
Nice.
I had to copy the pictures.
I know. But yeah.
Nice.
You guys saw.
Yeah.
So are you going to use your fate points?
Yeah.
Okay. So with a plus five, you leap up. And with a mighty swing of your axe, cleave into this hive. And it's dark, but you feel bits of it breaking off and something hitting your face. Larvae are falling down and splattering on the ground. And you reach in and yank out this bulbous, squirming thing that's like... It's like a tiny little bee head attached to a football, kind of. And it's just squirming in your hand as you land, and you take it and just slam it into the ground and everywhere. And you guys hear the swarm just start to dissipate. It goes from a conceited concentrated buzzing to just scattered bees flying, wasps flying all over the place. So you are no longer being attacked.
Now I want to use my magic to try to stop the poison in Dorla.
Just in Dorla?
Oh. She is... Oh, I'm not poisoned, though, right?
No, but Ryder is.
Everything's going black!
All right, so I'm going to say clever.
Yay, clever is where I'm a Viking. Plus five.
Plus five?
Yeah, five, yeah.
Okay. With a plus five, yeah, that removes the nightshade poison.
And now I'd like to also do that on Ryder once he gets closer.
Same thing. Well, Ryder, are you going to let her magic you? It's up to you.
Yes.
It's probably the best.
Don't worry. It works well on her, and it'll work on you.
Oh,
Ryder, you're dead.
Exact same role.
Okay. Yeah. No more nightshade poison for Ryder.
Yay.
And you got a belly full of bugs. It's been a good day.
Beautiful. Getting a bit of food coma here.
You got the itis. Can we take a breather?
Oh, I just need a nap.
All right. So the stone wall has slammed shut behind you. However, the temple continues going forward in front of the other direction. You don't really have much choice now but to keep going.
Dorla, did I tell you about the time I saved my two compatriots from venom?
Is that the thing that just happened, Sensei?
Yes.
No, you haven't told me.
It's true.
There we were, as we're going along.
Surrounded by hundreds, no, thousands.
Maybe more like dozens.
Thousands.
So, you guys keep marching forward, and you walk for what seems like 10 minutes, although it's really hard to tell time in a completely pitch-black room.
Does the sphere of light follow us? Or
yes. Okay, yeah, so okay. you still have that with you. Right. So you've got a little bit of illumination. And as you go forward, you come into this room, this circular room, and the floor slopes...
That sounds like rough terrain.
Before we get too far, can I use my HUD to like make an adjustment to my light perception?
Roll clever.
Okay, so like night vision, slug HUD.
Yeah.
Wait. Night vision, fuck slug HUD.
That's very important. That's not designation.
Plus zero.
But no, you don't break it, but. You slide the toggles, but nothing happens. You toggle the brightness all the way up, but it doesn't do anything.
So maybe no.
You try the hue, and then everything just turns purple and doesn't.
So God, I'm gonna have to play with this forever.
Yeah.
You just see the angry eyes glowing in the darkness.
So you guys press forward into the circular room. The floors all slope down about 30 feet. You can't really see what's down at the bottom of it. But you all have to make careful rolls.
I'm decent at that.
I'm careful with where I'm a Viking.
Ew.
I've got minus one careful.
I have zero.
Oh, damn it.
I score zero.
Minus, minus, minus. So that I'm at plus zero also.
Okay, great. So all of you get to play in the, what are they called?
Ball pit?
Cliffhangers.
Oh, okay.
So this is a special action for Masters of Umdar. So this is what happens. The three of you walk into this circular room with the floor that slopes down, and it's a slick surface. So you take a few steps.
I don't step.
You move across the outside, trying to just skate around the room, and Ryder got a negative one. So Ryder's the first to go. And what happens is his legs go out from under him, and by reflex, he just reaches up and grabs at Ruby's tail. And as he slides forward, it pulls her off balance, and out of reflex, she reaches up and grabs Dorla. So all three of you go sliding down and feel yourselves, and the orb follows you. So you collide with this inky black shadow sludge.
Why is it always sludge?
And it just, it coats you, and you feel it start to pull you in. So this is and you can see now, that's what's at the center of this pit. So this pool that you're in is like 20, 25 feet across. You have no idea how deep it is.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the way that cliffhangers work. You have five turns. Each one of you could take one action.
In each five of the five turns.
Yes, so you only get five actions total. No, each of you takes one action.
Oh,
I'm sorry. One of you takes an action each turn.
We have five actions between us for five turns.
Yes.
All right.
I'm going to use my tongue to lasso on a thing and pull us out with force.
Wait a second. There are easy ways to do it, and there are hard ways to do it. You don't know what is hard, what methods are hard, and what is easy. So you have to tell me what approaches you're using and what you're doing. I know what the difficulty is. Mm-hmm. You need to get three successes or worse stuff happens. So, first round, so the three of you smack into this sludge and feel it just start to... It's like... You'd imagine this is probably what those tar bogs were like. And it just starts to, like, pull you in. So who's doing something first?
Can I try and get us out with the tongue?
You can try.
Go for it.
So using forceful?
Yep.
All right, so roll with forceful.
Grab me onto the wall with my tongue?
Yeah, I'll give you the plus two for that.
Good, because then that gives me a plus five.
Okay. So you shoot your tongue out to the wall and go to pull yourself, and whatever was on the floor is on the wall, and your tongue just slips off, and you feel yourself get sucked further into the sludge. Who's next?
Hmm.
Oh, Sensei, what do we do?
One of your actions to try to be to assess the situation.
Yeah, sure. I will run this through the situation analyzer in my HUD.
Okay. That's careful?
Careful.
Okay. So roll it.
All right. Let's hope I don't roll three minuses again.
Oh, look and pull.
I rolled a plus, so that's plus four.
Okay. So
what type of roll was that?
Careful.
Okay.
So you analyze it, and you realize that the sludge seems to be reacting to the struggles. And as you take time to just look around, you feel yourself start to float a bit.
Everybody. Everybody, don't struggle. It's pulling us deeper. There seems to be some kind of reaction.
Who's next?
Hmm. All right, well, you know, I figure it would be an instinct of us to struggle. So maybe,
we're going to make butterflies.
Maybe I try to soothe our minds with a soothing spell and, you know, just make us more willing to relax and not struggle, since, I figure instincts would be struggle out of this thing.
I'll say that's careful.
Okay. Alright, I was hoping for clever, but okay. Nope. Zero.
Okay. Doesn't work. That's another turn. Two turns left.
I'm going to relax.
Alright, roll careful.
Nice.
That's two.
Okay. You stop struggling and feel yourself start to float. Slowly but surely. Last turn. Who's doing a thing?
I'm going to look around and see if I can. Is it still pitch black? Do we have the light with us?
No, yeah, the light's floating over you. Okay. You're rising up as you stop moving.
Okay, I'm gonna look around and see if there's anything, you know, that we can grab onto that isn't covered in this sludge, or, you know, something when we are close enough floated to the top.
I'd say that's gonna be clever.
Okay. Plus four.
Excuse me, yeah. So you see, as you float up, that there are... You're no longer swarmed, yeah. There are inky black vines hanging down. And as you grab it, you realize that they're not slipped. They look like... They look like they have an oily sheen to them.
Yeah.
But when you grab it, you realize that they don't.
Ryder, Sensei, grab the vines!
All right, so that's... You guys just managed to get your three successes. So you grab the vines and slowly pull yourselves out. And as the sludge slowly slips away, and you manage to climb up and then swing across to the other side of the room.
Gross, 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 gross.
It doesn't stick to you. It's like gack almost. Like
Nickelodeon gack?
Yes.
Does it pull all the sand out of my membranes?
Yes.
If you were to put it in a container and then push it, we go...
Yeah.
Cool.
Then devour you.
Yeah.
Oh. My gack didn't do that.
This is magic gack. So you guys managed to survive the trap. Good job.
Glad.
Oh.
Why is it always sludge? Why is there sludge everywhere? Ruby Gleam hates sludge.
Oh,
I still feel it in my scales.
All right.
You don't see it, but every time you mention how much you hate sludge, it kills Dorla a little bit inside.
Oh no! She didn't mean that.
You're just like, oh, I hate sludge. Sludge is so nasty. And then, like, in the background, Dorla is just like shrinking into herself.
She would apologize if she noticed.
Well, she doesn't, because she's too full of herself.
And just don't give no craps.
Yep. All right, so you guys press forward. There's another long hallway. Ryan would love it.
Describe it. Describe it in loving detail.
It's made out of the same large obsidian stones. It's so huge. It just stretches into shadows around you. And it goes for thousands of feet as you walk down this hallway for minutes.
How wide is the hallway?
It's like 100 feet wide. All right, so...
I want to shoot it with a wide-angle lens so you get a good sense of the depth.
So you guys get to the end of the hallway, and you find a pair of massive doors, and it looks like one of them has been cracked open, like 2 feet. The doors are At first glance, again, they look black, but you see they have the sun on it, and like the pinks and purples of a setting sun just kind of ripple through it every once in a while. And you can't see what's on the other side. Again, just black.
Well, team, I get the feeling that this is where the artifact might be. I also get the feeling that maybe we're walking into an ambush or a trap.
Can I try to use a magic to detect life forms other than ourselves?
Yeah. I'd say clever.
Yeah. 3.
So how do you do this spell? What does it look like?
I figure the magic from her horn kind of does like a radar effect spinning around. It's like,
so your horn just goes...
But the magic comes out of the horn. The horn stays still.
So it goes... So you send out this magic and...
Magic ping!
Basically. You have to stick your head into the door to do it, though. And then the door slams shut and decapitates. No.
Needed that head!
And so as you, when
how
you stick
do you
your,
react to her getting decapitated? She was just insulting the crap out of you.
Sensei!
So the door, you stick your head in. Again, it's darkness on the other side. You send out this wave of magic. And you feel something in there. It's not quite a life form, but it's definitely not dead.
Oh.
You don't know exactly how to describe it.
I don't but know there's exactly something in how there. To describe what's in there. It's not dead.
And then you hear a raspy voice. Come in.
It has a raspy voice.
I can feel you out there. Don't be strangers. And suddenly, there's a phoom as torches around the room light up. And you can see, with your head in there, there's a altar, that looks like it's been converted into some sort of throne. Mm-hmm. And sitting atop it, is this, treeling. It's basically a tree creature. You can see its bark is dark. It's gnarled and hunched over. It looks very old.
So it's like gnarled Barkley.
Yeah.
I remember when I lost my mind.
And it's clutching in its hand a staff. It's kind of leaning on as it looks over.
You've come for the Staff of Shadows, haven't you?
Have we come for the Staff of Shadows?
Yes, Sensei, we have.
Yes!
Come in.
Do you go in?
Yeah.
All right.
No, I've made my home in the hallway. I live here forever.
It was a really nice hallway. What can you say? Hallway.
So you walk in.
No, I don't.
You slither in. And as you go in, once all three of you are in, you hear... Boom! As the door slams shut behind you, and a massive gust of wind. This door's so huge that it gives off this gust of wind that pushes you all forward a little bit more.
Now there's no need to trap us in here.
That's sensing a theme here, Sensei.
Who said anything about trapped?
Well, you've just slammed the door rather strongly behind us.
It's a very large door. There's not much choice. Now, why have you come to my home?
I am called Dorla the Fuck Slug.
I am Sisyphus the Shadowmancer.
I am Ruby Gleam the Spellweaver Supreme!
Fireworks.
They have much better.
You give off fireworks and he flinches.
Did you not appreciate the fireworks?
No.
I thought they were nice fireworks.
My name is Ryder. I am the last of the Battletoads.
Well, you, like all the others before you, made the mistake of coming to the Temple of the Setting Sun. This is a place of darkness. The light has no place here. You carry the light of the Demiurge with you, and I must sniff it out. snuff it out.
Freudian slip.
Yep.
I must sniff it out.
He stands.
Now like you nice. May go.
He stands, and the shadows spilling over him, and taps the staff on the ground, and just turns into liquid. You don't quite know how to describe it.
Oh, good. He melted. Let's take just, the staff.
He taps the staff and disappears into the shadow next to him. And then, from across the room, you hear tung tung, followed by a weird, and then you hear not him, something else entirely. And suddenly these creatures start floating towards you in the dim light of the torches that line the wall. It looks like there's three imps. They're like little foot and a half tall demons with like little spiky horns and teeth and wings. But they look like they're just made out of shadows. They look almost two-dimensional as they come flying towards you. So what are you guys going to do?
I'd like to try to charm them magically and influence their minds and try to get them, make them docile and not want to attack us.
All right, roll. That'll be clever.
Yep, and when I try to cleverly influence someone's mind, I get a plus two.
Okay. What else? What's everyone else is doing?
I'll wait to roll until everyone says.
I'm going to grapple one of the imps. With my
tongue?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what they call it. The
tail toads. And Dorla?
Dorla's gonna let out a very kind of squelchy battle cry and then throw herself at one of the imps.
Okay. They are all...
Grow fists and start...
They are all going to attack you with their little claws and teeth.
Unless I make them not... Nope, I just negated my plus two and just got a plus three.
You reach out to them and it doesn't work because they don't seem to have minds. They seem to be some sort of construct. You could tell they're not creatures with minds. Mm-hmm. They're more akin to robots than anything else.
So I take the mind ability, and you're like, everything you fight doesn't have minds.
Well, if you had fought the beast with 1,000 mouths, or if you had run into some Surlians.
I'm assuming
Sisyphus.
Sisyphus probably has a mind, so if we fight him directly...
If you can find him.
Yeah. I got a plus three on my forceful to beat the shit out of some imps.
Okay. They got a plus one on their attacking. So you definitely overcome hit. So Dorla just boom to punch it. And it pops kind of like the shadow just dissipates and is gone.
I got a plus five.
Plus five. Yeah. I'm going to say that you grapple it so well that again, like the force of your tongue hitting it just, it just dissipates. Eric, however, you take one damage.
One stress. In the one box? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Because I got one stress. Yeah. So now, if you take another one, it has to go in the two box.
Right. I'm doing that slash.
No, it's not two damage. It just goes in the two shift box.
Oh,
well, the way you said it before.
Okay.
No, the one box, the three box can take three shifts. The two box can take two shifts. The one box can take one shift.
But
then it rolls up. So if you take a one hit, you have to put it in the two box.
But then you put two in the two box.
No. It's just...
You don't double your damage. Yeah. You're just taking an extra point, and the one point goes into the two box.
It marks it off.
Yeah.
So I have three hit points.
Yes, but you can it's not three hit points, but you can use them to absorb shifts, and you can take consequences too.
So, like, if you took a four shift damage, you couldn't put it in any of your boxes. So you could take a moderate consequence and get rid of all four.
Or you could take a minor consequence, a mild consequence, and take the mark off your two box, and that would absorb all the hits.
Yeah.
All right. If I get down,
if we get, yeah, if we get, yeah,
because right, it's getting late, I might.
Yeah. Well, this is the end.
Kind of killing.
So the imps are gone. Sisyphus is in here somewhere.
What are you guys? Gone?
Well, except the one that just punched you.
Okay.
So there's one imp like on Ruby's face, just like scratching and clawing at you.
I like to try to create light, like from within it.
Okay.
So,
expand the light ball so it fills the entire room with light.
Oh yeah, that would fuck up his whole shadow thing.
Oh yeah, we have a light ball.
You could try.
make the torches brighter. Anything that would, you know.
Either of those would be flashy.
Well, I like flashy. I'm pretty good at flashy.
What are you guys doing?
Punch off of me while I do that.
Get off my sensei!
Okay. I will say this, Ryan. If you fail, you'll just punch Ruby in the face.
Okay. Do I get a fate point for punching her in the face?
I will just give you a fate point if you punch her in the face.
Okay.
You will. Well, you got to roll.
I'm sorry, sensei.
So you will destroy the imp, but it's just shadow.
And I'm going to hit. All right, let's see.
That's forceful.
I'm at plus one. I'm at plus two.
All right.
All right, that could be worse.
So there you go. There's your fate point. So, Ruby, you still get to cast your spell, and then you get a fist in the face.
Great.
Ryder, what are you doing?
Nothing.
As soon as I'm able to figure out... Well, I'm going to look for...
Okay, that's going to be... Are you just, like, quickly glancing around, or are you going to carefully, like, look in all the parts of the room?
It's better for me to quickly look around.
Okay, I'm going to say, because it's so dark, though, there's still the deep pools of shadow aspect. So it's going to be difficult. You're going to need at least a plus four to find him.
That is not going to happen.
Whopping zero for my...
Oh, yeah, no, I've got negative one. I totally don't know where the key is.
Do you have any fate points you guys can take?
I have none.
I have no fate points.
You could ask for compels.
Yeah, you can ask for compels if you want.
That's what I just did to get a fate point.
I'm not sure which of these...
Does
I have a
compel. Ruby, I hate to bring this up, Eric, but does Ruby take a two-shift hit?
Yes. I will say, Eric, if you want a fate point, you're taking the two-shift hit anyway because Ryan took it to hit you in the face. If you say that knocks out your concentration and your ball of light goes away, so it makes everything darker,
no.
I will give you a fate point.
I could use the fate point.
It's up to you. You don't have to take it. You do take the two shift in damage or a minor consequence.
So you can either mark off your two box or take a minor consequence.
What happens if I mark off the two box? I just, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. But that means, if that happens again and someone gets two damage, it has to go in the three. Same with a one.
Okay. We're finishing up. We're in the last part.
Yep.
I'll mark off the two box.
Okay.
I guess I'll grab the...
I'll be home soon.
The fate points.
Okay, so you get punched in the face.
Oh, no.
And the pool of light you guys were standing in just goes away. So the only light now are these gently flickering torches around the room. Paul, I will give you a fate point if you just blindly rush forward with no idea where this guy is. And swinging your axe around trying to find him. It will put you at a disadvantage because he will know exactly where you are and will be able to attack you. However, you might not be able to attack him. But you will get a fate point. He's going to get a free attack on you.
Okay, so there's no way I can accidentally, because that's a consequence. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, it's a bad thing happens, but you get a fate point.
But then once he attacks me, I'd know exactly where he is.
If he stays there. Yes, theoretically.
Fuck it, why not?
Alright, so you get a fate point. You go running forward, swinging your axe around as you run into one of the pools of shadow. You hear a laugh. And then...
That is a lot of dice.
It's the same amount of dice as everyone rolled. I don't even know why I'm blocking it. So that is... He rolled it plus three.
Oh, Alex,
so two.
I don't know. This is a boss fight?
No, you just mark off the two box.
Oh.
Not the one.
Gotcha.
What happened?
I think technically the way it's supposed to work for the GM is you get a number of fate points to spend for the GMCs.
Right,
for the scene equal to the number of players. So you have three scene hit point fate points rather.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm trying to make sure that we do this fairly.
We don't know where he is, and we're getting slaughtered in a pool of shadows.
Well, we're taking our licks to get some fate points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's your two shift fall. You don't see him though. You just feel something hit you in the back of the head. So you could either take it as a two in your stress box or as a mild consequence.
Mild consequence means negatives on my dice.
It means it gives me an aspect I can invoke against you without you getting fate points for it.
I mean, you can still pay fate points to negate that, but if you don't mind taking the two box in damage. Like, once you mark off all three of these stress boxes, you're taken out.
Oh, you're dead?
No.
It depends on what Sisyphus
decides.
It depends on what Sisyphus is going for. If he's going to, like, kill us, then yeah, you'll be dead.
Okay.
But if he's going to, you know, make us his eternal slaves, then maybe you'll be ensorcelled or, you know, unconscious or whatever.
Yeah, I'll take it as the stress.
Okay. So next round, what are you guys doing?
Now I want to get some more light in the area.
Okay.
I want to magic
fill the room with light.
Yeah.
How are you going to do that?
It's going to be a big flashy burst of light that I want to hope to sustain. Maybe a bigger orb than the one I made before.
Okay. That's definitely flashy.
Yeah.
Dorla.
I'm Al Dorlan.
I don't think so, Tim.
The sexy fox slug.
With a beard.
Dorla is going to use her HUD and work her careful magic, but she's going to wait and hopefully be able to see what the hell is going on with the assistance of her sensei's light spell.
Okay. And Doran? No.
Rider.
I'm gonna...
Fuck.
As soon as I see this, I'm gonna blast and burn.
So you're not doing anything this turn, basically. So all of your stuff is hinging on...
Well, I think we're... Ruby's gotta go first.
Okay.
And then we might...
So he's going at the same time as Ruby.
I want to show everyone my amazing power to give a plus two to that.
Okay, so what does that put you at?
Plus five,
okay. So he slips. He got plus two. He slips through the shadows one last time.
Got plus two, so I got a style success.
Yeah. Well, this is what happens. So he slips through away from you, and Ryder, you could just tell he's not next to you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He pops up. You don't know where for a second until all of a sudden this orb of light just fills the room, bright and blinding. And you can all see perfectly now. And you see he's across the room from you. And he shields himself and is like covering his eyes and holding the staff up. So you can get an effect on him with your plus three. You can put a aspect on him that will give you guys one free invoke.
I was thinking blinded or...
Blinded by the light.
Yeah. Blind. Yeah, I love
it. The light.
All right, so that's on Sisyphus. So you guys get one. So one of you gets one free invoke of Blinded by the Light.
Okay.
So now you two are going. So Ryan, you can careful. And what are you going to do, Paul?
Scan.
I'm going to do what I did with the Robo Gators. I'm going to and then pull myself to him and then blast axe.
Okay, so that's forceful.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm gonna invoke my short circuiting cyber HUD to re-roll that. That sucked.
Yeah.
That was worse. I'm at plus zero.
Because this is boss, I'm going to project the weak, so that's actually 5, 7, 9. 9.
Okay. Can he use fate points to lower someone else's score?
He can't, but how many hit boxes and consequences?
He's like a PC, so he's got three. So he would be.
So he can take like.
That's true. We'll go with the six and the three. He'd still have the one and the two.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
But you'd have to decide like what his major consequence was.
Yep.
And he's on fire.
No, that's a different. That's a block. I mean, you can.
Plus three on fire.
Okay, so that puts the on fire aspect on him. On fire with one free invoke. However, he also has the consequence disarmed. So.
Literally, like
yes, literally.
Sweet.
So you come flying at him, and he's blinded, and he looks up, and he goes to shield himself like this, and your flaming axe just slices through his arm, holding the staff, and it just clatters to the ground, and he screams.
So I ended up with a plus zero to do the scan. Can I succeed at cost? So, like, basically, I guess what I'm thinking is I overclock my brain interfacing with the cyber HUD.
Okay.
Because I want to make this work, and it gives me, like, maybe a moderate or a severe consequence.
I've got it. So, earlier, you were fiddling with the light amplification.
Okay.
Trying to make things brighter so you could see.
And now...
You did. You just didn't realize it because there wasn't enough lights. All
right.
So as this... as Ruby unleashes this blinding ball of light, it overclocks your visual input. So you have the minor consequence... not blind.
Dazed?
Yeah, go with dazed.
Okay. But I do still get off.
Yes, but you're basically your HUD does it automatically.
Mm-hmm.
So it scans and then it tells you. One of his aspects is hateful of the lights. So he does not like the lights. With the light around, he can't do any of his magic like this because he's a shadowmancer. He needs shadows.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'll wait till our next turn.
Which is now.
Okay. Now, you said the arm with the, that was holding the staff fell, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's not grasping the staff anymore?
Well, his arm is, but it's not connected to his body.
Right. And he can't really use the magic, so that thing might not punch me if I try to pull the staff with my magic towards me.
You don't know. You don't know. You would assume that this is an artifact of the Demiurge. So you, without studying it, you don't know exactly what kind of properties it has.
Okay.
So you don't know if it's like attuned to him and no one else can use it.
Fair enough.
You don't know what will happen if you just grab it.
I mean, at the very least, he's a dick and shouldn't have it anymore.
Well, yes, that's a fair assumption.
Do I have to do anything to make my light continue existing? Or do
What did you get on it? Plus five?
Yeah.
No, that's the you basically critted your roll.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's gonna stick around.
You made a huge like searchlight in the.
I will say though, if you take a moderate or major consequence, your light will go out.
Okay. Right now, since you guys are focusing on attacking him, I think she might take a moment to try to magic heal her wounds if that's possible.
You could try. I'm going to say that's careful.
Okay.
What are Dorla and Ryder doing?
I'm going to attack again with non-Bernie axe.
Okay. Well, you used the Bernie already.
Of course, because, yeah.
Yeah. He's feeling the burn.
Yeah.
So, this big light orb in the middle of the room,
mm-hmm.
is it tangible?
Eric?
It was before, when I was able to grab it and leap up.
Yeah, remember
that was
you
a different
said,
light orb.
This one is too.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
In that case, I'm going to take it and throw it at him.
Okay. So that's going to be forceful for the both of you.
And I'm careful.
And you're careful. He, I am going to say, is just going to try to run away from the Toad Warrior with the axe.
I got a plus four for mine.
I got a plus two.
And
I'm going to use the free invoke on
Blinded by the light? Or no.
No. That he's hateful.
That, yes, light. You have that. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I get plus four to hurt him with the light.
He is also at plus four on jumping out of the way.
And I have got zero on my forceful.
Well, you have a free invoke of on fire.
Oh, put so you I at can plus, reroll.
Right? If you want, yeah, you can use it to reroll. Or you can use it to get plus two, which wouldn't put you over him.
I really gotta run to the bathroom, so if it comes to another turn, what I want to try to do is create light in the way he's going.
Okay.
Because I really gotta go to the bathroom. Okay.
So that puts me at a...
So you use two. This to...
Yeah.
Okay, so it came out to the same thing. So he was at plus four, and he is going to invoke his hatred of the light to get the fuck out of the way. So that puts him at plus six.
Okay.
So he manages to jump out of the way of both of you. He can't attack you. He can't really do anything. He just basically used it to disengage from you and jump out of the way of the ball of light.
Oh, bitch.
There still aren't any shadows for him to use, and the staff is still lying on the ground.
Okay.
So you used your invoke. Sorry, Ryan.
Yeah, that's fine.
So that put you at plus four total? Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Okay, so,
well, what do you guys? So, next turn. Oh, damn.
I'm gonna try to grab the staff this turn and see what happens.
I'm gonna try to grapple him with my tongue, so he can't be a slippery.
Okay. So use forceful, and you get the plus two.
Yep.
I would say quick, Ryan.
Okay.
Or if you want to make a play for something else.
I don't want him to notice, so I'm gonna sneak.
Oh shit! Okay. Yeah, I grabbed the fuck out of him.
So that's plus eight.
Yep, plus five. Yep. So
You grapple the fuck out of him. So your tongue like wraps around him, and he's holding him in place. He is not going anywhere.
I had a plus two, and I rolled minus minus, so I'm at zero.
Okay. You grab it, but he sees you.
Ah.
So, do you grab it by his dismembered arm, or by the staff itself?
I'm not too keen on touching the staff, so I'm going to go on his arm.
Okay. It's weird. It feels like a tree, but it also kind of like has a skin texture to it a little bit.
Mm.
It's still warm, and it's leaking sap. But, like, red sap?
Ah.
Yeah. Eric was going to throw light in the way he's going, but he's not going anywhere. So I'm just going to say that Ruby is taking this time to still heal herself. It's a prolonged spell. Or do we want to pause for a second?
Let's pause so that Eric can pee and then come back.
Okay, that was no time at all. Yay. So Paul just grappled the guy. Ryan...
Picked up the staff
right.
by the arm, and it's bleeding, disgusting boysenberry syrup on me.
Yes. So, Ruby, what are you doing?
All right, so where is he?
He is on the side of the room, wrapped up in Ryder's tongue.
Okay.
I grappled the fuck up him with a plus eight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, I'm torn between, like, trying to just create more light right near him to, like, cow him even more. Or
I mean, it's pretty bright already. The light's not going to do physical damage to him.
Can I assess, then, what is going on with the staff and the blood and everything? Can I magically assess it?
Sure. That's going to be careful.
Can I argue that it was clever?
Using
my wits, my
to figure
wits
out what
about
it
magic
is.
To discern what it is.
All right.
Four.
Okay, this is a staff. It definitely seems to have some sort of...
Emily, though, you're just going to cut it out there. This is a staff?
It seems safe to touch. It doesn't seem like it's bound to him or any particular creature. You could tell with a plus four that it gives the wielder the ability to manipulate darkness and summon shadow imps.
Oh.
So it gives you... If you're wielding the staff, you can... shadow slip like he did, and you can summon shadow imps.
All right, so his source of power is very much not near him anymore.
Yes,
and even if he did have, even if it does have innate power, that's muted by being surrounded.
You would think that as a shadow mancer, yes, it would be muted by the lights.
Muted by the... Oh.
So this turn, he is going to try to break free of your grapple. It's going to be very difficult because he has to beat plus 8.
Mm-hmm.
And plus forceful is not his strong suit. So what are you guys doing?
I'm going to cleave his head.
Okay. Dorla?
Dorla is going to bring the shadow staff over to her sensei. Sensei, I've recovered his weapon.
Yes, this seems to... He could use it to bend shadows and travel through shadows and make those nasty little imps that attacked us. That's a very powerful weapon.
It is most definitely an artifact of the Demiurge.
I think this is what we've come here for, isn't it? That's a wonderful artifact.
All right, so that's your turn then, discussing this. So
we're just talking. Paul's like, murder, kill, wait, murder, well, kill.
Before you roll, let's see if he breaks out.
He's encased in Paul's tongue.
He got a
so
plus
Paul's
3,
like,
so he only needs 5 kill. More. I don't even think, you know, it would only give him plus 4, so he still wouldn't be able to break out. So yeah, he's struggling, but with one arm, it's pretty hard to do. So yeah, you can roll forceful.
2 plus 3 is plus 5.
Plus 5, that's, I'm good with his thing, yeah, fuck it, he's grappled, he's not getting away. You just, you lop his head off.
Well, wait, Paul, did you want to kill him, or did you
yes.
like, incapacitate him, and...
Because
it's your call, you get to say how he goes out.
Yeah, I'm gonna, instead of, like... Sharp end, broad end, just bong, just like knock him right the fuck out.
Okay. You boom, bang him at the flat of your axe, and he just goes limp in your tongue. Yeah, so he's still in your tongue. What are you going to do with him?
Eat him!
you'd be a bit of a mouthful. He's basically a tree.
I defer to your judgment on the matter, Sensei, but I believe we should take him back to Black Bog to stand trial, possibly, for all of the crimes that he's committed out here.
Such as?
Well, he's murdered adventurers.
You mean trespassers on his property?
Depends on how you spin it.
Yeah. It's going to be a day's trek back to Black Bog, too.
And it's an eternal darkness with a Shadowmancer.
It's up to you guys.
Well, you said he's a tree person, right?
Yes.
He's like a
mini... He's a treeling, basically, yeah.
Okay. So maybe we can... Can we, like, gag him with something and tie his one remaining arm down? And
yeah,
We'll, like, lay him over Dorla's back and she can...
Can I carve RG into him?
RG?
Ruby Gleam.
Oh. I mean, that would, like, be the literal definition of torture, but sure. Wake him up.
Yeah, she probably wouldn't do that. That's a good point. Yeah. She's not looking to just horribly torture things.
Yeah. I mean, it's up to you. You guys can bring him back. It's going to be tough. You're gonna have to make a roll. I'm not gonna have like you role play the whole thing out, but yeah. Someone's gonna have to roll.
Well, I think that, you know, we could either just leave him here,
or we could just take him out so he's no longer a menace.
I'd like to paint RG on him.
Now, what would he be considered a master?
No.
Okay, no. So he's just some.
If anything, he would be considered, like, a minion.
Okay.
If he was working for one of the masters around here. But he himself is not. You know who the masters are.
Okay.
This is not one of them.
Okay. But he might be a minion of one of the masters.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, he's living in the territory of one of them.
Okay.
So chances are they at least know he's here. You don't know what he would be doing for them, because he's just kind of sitting in a dark room. But there's a good chance that he might work for them. He's definitely not a nice guy.
Yeah. I feel like I had an idea, but it was pretty fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Listening?
Before he wakes up, we carry him outside and we half bury him in the sand and ask him if he wants to put down roots.
and then we can ask him questions.
I could do that.
You could do that. So,
or do you want to just bring him back and we'll leave him hogtied and gagged? It's up to you guys.
So we'd have to protect him through the Ceruleans and Robo-Gators and...
Well, now there's no real time pressure. I mean, I guess there wasn't before, but...
Yeah.
Right.
I'll just use my Magneto drone again and we'll...
I defer to you guys. I'm good with whatever. I'm good with
it. I mean, this is entirely a role-playing character decision. It's up to you.
Well, Dorla says... To Ruby that, you know, she respects the wise judgment of her sensei.
Well, right. Do we feel that he's done anything to have to stand trial for?
He may be a minion of the Masters. He may also have murdered a bunch of people who came to steal his stuff.
Can I peruse his minds?
You can try.
Plus two, with... check mind.
Would that count as cleverly influencing someone's mind?
To just read it? No.
No, it's influencing it to tell me what it knows.
No. You could use clever, but it's not. You're not influencing it.
Monster. Plus five.
Okay, so what are you trying to find out?
Well, I would like to know if he's a minion of the
Masters.
Masters.
Yes, he is.
He's a minion of the Masters.
And he has most certainly killed people who... people less skilled than you who came here seeking out the staff.
And there is definitely blood on his hands. Hands.
Well, then it's What do you think?
I will tell you this. It's not like you're going to get any bounty or anything from bringing him up to Black Bog.
I know. I just feel like, do we do something horrible out in the desert ourselves and call it, like, you know, call it justice, or do we turn him over to the people who might have, like, legitimate authority?
Let's bury him like you said, but okay. Upside down.
I kind of think that's pretty fucked up, but I'm okay with it. I think Dorla would do it. Mm-hmm. Like, we half bury him in the sand, and when he wakes up, we tell him that we hope he likes the desert because he's going to put down roots.
Okay, so you do that. He screams as you start to toss the sand back in on him, and it muffles it.
I'd like to conjure up a pair of earmuffs.
No, it's too late. Oh. The sand muffles his screams.
Wait, were we burying upside down or right side up?
You said upside down.
Let's do right side up, maybe. So we could at least speak.
Yeah, he can breathe and speak. And
okay. He screams curses at you as you leave. He swears his vengeance, and you ignore him as you head off into the twilight desert.
Does he notice that I painted RG on him somewhere?
No, he has bigger concerns.
Oh.
Like being buried alive?
Yes.
I'm sure that won't come back to bite us in the ass.
No, now. No, not at all. So you guys make it back to town with no incidents. You go back to the tavern and announce your victory.
Oh, I definitely announce it.
The bar owner goes, who are you again?
Ruby Gleam, the Spellweaver Supreme, you shall remember my name now that me and my compatriots have defeated the tree being that killed and slaughtered people who came to his cave.
We retrieve this artifact of the Demiurge, and we hold...
The staff, I forgot, so the staff is, like, pitch black and smooth, and as it gets to the top, it starts to sort of curl and just sort of looks like smoke coming up off the top, but it never, like, loses any mass or anything. It's just, like, shadow moving. Ooh. Like, concentrated shadow. The bartender, that's a nice stick you got there.
Yes, it is. It's an artifact.
Oh, is it going to increase the tar that they get out of the pits?
I don't think it does that.
Oh, well, then it doesn't really affect me, does it?
Uh-huh. You would know better than I, Sensei.
As far as I can tell, it does not.
Well, in that case, it's a very pretty stick you've got. Now, are you going to buy a drink? If not, then get out.
I don't like you.
Well, then you can find somewhere else to stay tonight.
Very well! I'm leaving!
Okay. There's nowhere else to stay in town.
I'll figure something out.
So you sleep outside. But you have your staff.
Because I have my pride
in the
and I
sold
them on the bog.
You could shadow slip into a room in the tavern.
Maybe. All right, so that ends the Staff of Shadow. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was
good.
Fun. I liked it a lot.
This was the slipping into shadow sludge chart for you guys. That's how they lay them out for this.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I do have a question, though. What
sure.
was the beast of 1,000 mouths?
Oh, I don't really know. probably like some giant sandwormy thing.
Ah.
Basically, when Paul made his check earlier to listen for something, I rolled to see if it was going to be the gators or if it was going to be the beast. It was the gators.
I think I'm pretty alright with it having been the gators.
Yeah. The beast of 1,000 mouths, I was thinking, was basically like some... like I said, sandwormy thing, but instead of one mouth, it just had, I kind of picture, like, a giant worm with, you ever see those drills that they use to carve a subway?
Yeah.
Like that.
Oh, okay.
But attached to a living worm.
Like Tremors?
No, like worse.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, that's Masters of Umdar. Like I said, I love this system.
Yeah, I would like to play Dorla again. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
I like Ruby Glenn.
Yeah, you guys, these are good characters. Yeah, all right, so Paul, any last thoughts?
I like being a Battletoad.